Derby. We'll have Dave Dennis, the Waratahs skipper, and Trent Barrett, the country origin coach. It's a full last hour on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
His first choice in forklifts.
By Mitchum, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge have introduced their new bundle of joy to the world and taken the baby princess home. Vicky Barker reports from London.
8 pounds, 3 ounces. She doesn't even have a name yet, but already the pundits are predicting her future.
We know that George's career will probably be in the military, and then, God willing, he will become king. But this little girl, we don't know what's going to happen to her, so this makes it even more exciting.
Royal commentator Ingrid Seward, Britain's newest royal, is spending her first night on Earth at her family's London base in Kensington Palace, which was also the home of the late Princess Diana, the grandmother she will never know.
Fire crews are battling a massive blaze which has broken out in a home on Sydney's North Shore. The two-storey Riverview home is well alight. There are at least 6 fire trucks on the scene trying to contain the flames. Emergency services are being stretched as they deal with the aftermath of severe storms in northern New South Wales. A 6-year-old boy died in hospital after being swept into rough seas at South Ballina Beach, while 5 people were killed during the wild weather in Queensland. The state emergency service has received over 1,000 calls for help since the wet weather set in yesterday. Todd Burns from the SES says crews will spend today assisting residents.
Volunteers will be out again at first light to try and get through as many jobs as they can get through. Bearing in mind we're still getting through the jobs from the previous weather event that we had begin last week.
Childcare benefits could be means-tested under a measure to be unveiled ahead of this month's budget. The Telegraph reports families with a combined income of more than $250,000 a year will miss out on some benefits. Households that earn less than $165,000 will be the big winner. More than half of Australians are living lifestyles with little to no exercise each day. It's a worrying figure that's been brought to us this Heart Week, with physical inactivity being a leading contributor to chronic disease. Heart Foundation Australia Chief Executive Mary Barry says it's stealing lives.
Heart disease remains the single biggest killer of Australians, claiming 20,000 lives a year, or a death every 10 to 12 minutes. We also have a number of people, 55,000 people a year, have a heart attack.
Briefly, an Australian rules footballer has died playing in country Victoria. The 24-year-old suffered a heart attack on the field. 60 Harris Park residents have been forced to stay with friends and family overnight with fears their building may collapse. And gardeners at Kirribilli House are being paid $200,000 a year to manicure the grounds. In finance news, and one Australian dollar is buying 78.51 US cents.
From Builders Field Direct.
Origin hopefuls will be out to put their stamp on today's City Country Clash in Wagga Wagga. It'll be a battle of the halves between James Maloney and Josh Reynolds. City forward Jason Clark says he's just happy to live out a childhood dream.
This has been, honestly, it has been in a long-distance goal for me to play in the City side, so it's one that I can definitely tick off the list.
The Kangaroos and Kiwis are hoping for drier conditions when their delayed test kicks off at Suncorp Stadium this afternoon. The highly anticipated Floyd Mayweather-Manny Pacquiao mega welterweight fight gets underway today. Steve Futterman reports.
This is where tonight's fight is going to take place, the MGM Grand Arena. Everything is set for this much-anticipated confrontation. Boxing fans have wanted this fight to take place for years. Now they are finally about to see Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather in the ring.
In the AFL, the Western Bulldogs have beaten the Sydney Swans by 4 points and West Coast has smashed the GWS Giants by 87. Wellington hosts Melbourne City in an elimination A-League final today. The winner goes on to play the Melbourne Victory. In the English Premier League, important wins to relegation threatened Leicester, Aston Villa and Sunderland. And Olympic gold medalist Matthew Mitchum has been beaten by 19-year-old James Connor at the Australian Diving Championships. It's 8:04. This is Macquarie National News.
Today's sports report brought to you by Builders Steel Direct, the lintel specialist. Best lintels, T-bars and arch bars at best prices. BuildersSteelDirect.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather. Cloudy today with an 80% chance of showers and becoming less likely late this afternoon and evening. Winds are southerly at 20 to 30 kilometres an hour, turning southwesterly. Large and powerful surf conditions, so stay off the rocks. Heading for a top of 23 degrees. Currently at French's Forest, it's 19.
As the death toll rises, the Red Cross Nepal Earthquake Appeal needs your support urgently. Red Cross workers are on the ground assisting thousands. Go to redcross.org.au. Supporting the Red Cross Nepal Appeal. This is Sky Sports Radio.
Here's a thought for anyone renovating or building a new home.
Take a closer look at your design.
Visually, what do you think is the single most important purchase you'll make when building or renovating your home?
Windows and doors, of course.
You look through them every day. Make sure you don't look past them. They bring in light, airflow, and can assist with heating and cooling your home. Pretty important, I'd say. Wideline Windows and Doors have been manufacturing aluminium and timber windows and doors for over 40 years.
Make sure you take a closer look.
Showrooms in Parramatta, Tuggerah, and a brand new showroom in Broadmeadow Road, Broadmeadow.
Motor neurone disease kills 2 Australians every day. MND causes people to lose the use of their limbs, ability to speak, swallow, and breathe. There is no cure yet. What value do you put on the ability to dress yourself or hug your family? Put a price on it. That's your donation. Visit mndresearch.org.au and donate today to give hope.
And best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Let's get into it. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
Really excited about the day of sport today around the world. Really excited about our last hour as well. Very shortly, Dean Bulldog Richie will have an update from Tanya. We'll have the Kentucky Derby live from Churchill Downs. Dave Dennis, the Waratahs skipper, and Trent Barrett, the country origin coach. And, of course, your calls, 1353 53. And today, Raymond, given the fact that Kentucky Derby's on, we are having our bucket list of things you want to do, sporting bucket list, things you want to do before you leave this planet. Number one. For you?
Was the Masters at Augusta, just ahead of Lords, an Ashes test, so as you quite rightly pointed out, Jimmy. Then the Kentucky Derby, hence the hook for today's little things, Anfield, and to watch Liverpool play, and the home of golf, St Andrews. I'd love to go there.
Yeah, mine's cricket test at Lords for an Ashes, World Series at Yankee Stadium, Challenge Cup final at Wembley Stadium, Barcelona vs Real Madrid at Camp Nou, and Pamplona running with the balls is my fifth one. An SMS that's come in here just on that 0419 SMS BSB, which we'll get to very shortly after we do a traffic update.
Where it's moving and where it's not. Sydney traffic on the Big Sports Breakfast.
Good morning, everybody. At Liverpool, a two-car accident northbound on the Hume Highway just past the Nissan dealership, Hoxton Park Road. An accident at Rouse Hill as well, Windsor Road at Mile End Road. Heavy traffic towards the International Terminal from Mar Street, Arncliff, up into the Mascot area, and flooding all over Sydney, including Oxford Falls, the Wakehurst Parkway and Rouse Road, Rouse Hill. Right now, police in Sydney have speeding drivers in their sights, and if you get caught, you could face penalties. So, if you don't watch your driving, the police will. That's traffic, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Bucket list items, Jimmy. Ronnie from Moree.
Yeah, exactly.
Right in. And, gee, I love his five. Some of them obviously can't be achieved. Ali versus Foreman. Wouldn't that have been great?
That's
to be
number
there?
One, yeah.
Peter Craven winning one of his World Speedway Championships at the old Wembley Stadium. He was a superstar, Peter Craven, to play in the Masters at Augusta. We all love to do that. Win the Pipeline Masters.
Hey, Ronnie.
I like the game.
Yeah, hang 10.
And Ronnie's a racing fan, so he's also a bucket list item for him. He's a Kentucky Derby as well.
A little bit early, we heard from our regular caller, Adrian. Very disappointed in Adrian's call. Not one mention of Mitchell Pearce or Michael Clark. Unbelievable. That's from Paramount. And this one, why does Jimmy want to go to Pamplona? He runs with the bull shite every Sunday. No, I didn't say that, but thank you, H. And we do appreciate it.
And Paramat boys and Tanya, another casualty of the weather, Jimmy, has been the Touch World Cup held in Coffs Harbour. The play was disrupted on Friday, but it looks like the finals will go ahead today, the Touch Football World Cup.
There you go. Check it out online, touchworldcup.com.
Still love my touch, Jimmy. Still love
com.
My touch.
Yeah, it's a great game, isn't it? 1353 53, the open line number. But right now, we're going to speak to Dean Bulldog Ritchie, as we do every Sunday morning. G'day, Dino.
Good morning, men.
Are you surviving this wet weather, Dean? You're okay?
Yeah, a little bit soggy outside still this morning, Jimmy, but hopefully we can see the back of it and get a bit of sport. All the sport was cancelled, certainly over in the Manly area. Yesterday, like throughout Sydney, so disappointing, but as long as everyone's safe, I guess.
Yeah, big weekend of sport, or big day of sport today, Dino. But before we get to that, the broadcast deal, what are you hearing, mate?
Yeah, it's interesting, Ray, that the NRL has jumped the gun, I guess you could say, on the AFL. They want to start opening negotiations very soon to try to trump the AFL. Of course, the AFL deal got done first last time, and we came second, as in we... Rugby
NRL,
league.
Yep.
Now, there's some figures floating around, Ray, that I'm hearing. The deal currently is on about $1.2 billion. Now, the NRL is thinking big. They're thinking they can maybe get between $1.5 and even $2 billion. TV sources indicate, look, it may go up, but only marginally, to about $1.3, $1.4. So, look, it'll depend whether they split the deal up, NRL and State of Origin. That might obviously increase the entire package. But I'm thinking, Ray, about probably about $1.5 billion will be the deal that they're looking for, which is big money, but obviously it's also a big gain.
And that'll be over 5 years, Dino. And let's just confirm this. The people who are going to be paying for it are saying about $1.3, and the people who are selling it are saying about $2 billion.
That's right.
That's how it works.
That's how it works, Jimmy.
Yeah, exactly. The biggest thing going for the National Rugby League this time around is that they no longer have first and last rights, Channel 9. That is the greatest
more flexible
burden
now, isn't it?
Being lifted from the National Rugby League. And I don't know, Dino, do you think that Channel 10, Channel 7 and Channel 9 could all be broadcasting Rugby League across free-to-air?
Well, certainly the last deal, Jimmy, the Channel 10 bid, I know, was a very healthy one. They obviously got pipped by Channel 9. The 10 bid wasn't quite as financially strong as the 9 bid a few years ago, but it did include every game live on free-to-air, which was very attractive to a lot of people out there who, of course, can't or don't have pay television. I think you'll find 7 will have a crack again. So, look, those figures we discussed, Jimmy, I mean, it depends on who's in the battle. If there's 3 in the battle and the price keeps going up, well, there's only going to be 1 winner, and that's the game.
The more the merrier. Actually, it might not only be free-to-airs that are in there. It might be other outlets like a Apple TV or a Google or something like that. There's any other options.
Phil Rothfield had a piece this morning saying that next year Nine looking at actually running 2 games live on Friday night.
It's a good idea, isn't it?
On the digital channel. So, look, that's got a lot of merit.
Yeah, absolutely. And people, they know how to find Jim.
Yep.
They know how to find their digital channels. Now, Parramatta Stadium, they say there's about $1.2 billion available across all stadiums. Everyone wants the lion's share of that. How much are Parramatta Stadium going to get for any planned upgrade, Dino?
Well, they need plenty, Jimmy. Look, I was speaking to Steve Sharp during the week, and, look, they're hoping for a revamp or actually a complete new stadium that would seat between 30 to 35,000 fans. But Sharp was actually saying something quite interesting to me, Jimmy, that it may not just be the home of the Parramatta Eels. They might try and get a few other clubs to play games out there. The clubs he mentioned were the Dragons, the Tigers and the Bulldogs. Quite obviously, they'd have contracts elsewhere at this point in time. But look, whether that's a bargaining tool that the Eels go to the government for when they've got their cap out, saying we want money, that we could promise you there will be clubs there that play outside of the Parramatta Eels. Look, 35,000 would be a wonderful stadium out there in Parramatta, which of course is right smack bag in the middle of Sydney, as we know. So it'll be interesting times to see what clubs actually play out of that stadium, if in fact it does go ahead. It's a wonderful ground, Parramatta. It's still among the best we've got, but it is a little bit outdated. Of course, that first game was back in 1986, so I think it's looking for a bit of a revamp and a bit of loving.
A lot of the clubs are also lining up for that cash, aren't they,
Dino?
Dino, you got some news, read the Bulldogs?
Yeah, I think you'll find in the next couple of days, Ray, that the rugby league will come out and discuss the bottle-throwing drama from Good Friday.
Mm.
I'm hearing through the grapevine that the penalties won't be that significant. They seem to think that the Bulldogs have done a wonderful performance in recent years in crowd control. They think it was a pretty much a one-off event, and it seems to be the case. Obviously, a decade or so ago, we had a fair bit of trouble at Bulldogs games. That hasn't been the case in recent years. There was, of course, the Good Friday drama, but there was some discussion a few weeks ago that the Bulldogs might lose points or face fines. But I think you'll find that, look, there will be some punishment there. I don't think it'll be heavy-handed, and I think that the Bulldogs will sort of get away with it, so to speak, given that they've really built up the rapport between the fans and the club. And as I said, yes, there'll be some sort of punishment, but it won't be significant.
Country Origin versus City Origin today. We've got Australia versus New Zealand a little bit later today as well. You are very close to New South Wales State of Origin coach Laurie Daly. Any word of the players that are playing in that game today, City Country, that are big chances for New South Wales?
Yeah, I think a fair few in the game, Jimmy. We'll be looking at it. I see Trent Barrett saying 5 to 6 players. Look, there's no doubt Laurie's got a side in his head at the moment.
But sure.
Things change through the series, and this is a chance for those players today to actually say, well, if I miss Origin 1, I'll be around for Origin 2. I mean, if you run through all the positions, Jimmy, there's still a fair bit of speculation. I mean, fullback, we've got Dugan and Boylan.
Yeah.
Whether Tupou gets on the wing, there's a spot there. Morris, Jennings, Dylan Walker in the centres. 5-8, of course. Reynolds and Maloney. Hodgkinson and Pearce in the halves. So there's already every spot in the back line, there's still a little bit of debate over. Whether Gal plays the back row, Bird, Scott, Cordner, Ryan Hoffman up front, Tarmow, Wood. So, look, there's plenty of speculation around Luke Lewis, Clement, Fafita, Tyson Frizzell. I mean, there's a million players still out there hunting down positions. But the key one will be what he does in the halves, of course. And there is a bit of mail floating around town that's unsubstantiated, guys. Look, he may go with Hodgkinson and Pearce.
Well, we've had unsubstantiated rumours around Moylan.
Manny Moylan.
At 5-8. That came from Zorba.
Yeah, look, it's been discussed. Look, I think it would be a massive gamble to throw a rookie.
Big ask on the kid, wouldn't it?
For game one, put him in an unfamiliar position.
But
he has played there as well, as we know, and I think he played a bit of junior football out in the Penrith juniors in that position, but it'd be a hell of a gamble, guys.
Dino, he seems to be one of those players, though. Give him a challenge, he rises to it. He has played front line for Penrith on a number of occasions, particularly last year. He seems one of those players who's got this... I'm not saying put him there, Jimmy, but I'm just saying if Laurie Daly ends up in this situation where he has to put someone like a Matt Moore at 5-8, he won't let New South Wales down.
Ivan Cleary was interesting at the press conference last week after his match-up there at Penrith, and he said, look, whenever we give Matt Moylan a challenge at the next level, he takes it, he accepts 100%. It, he digests it, and he wins the battle.
Yep.
He's an unflappable young kid, guys. Mm. He's just so cool, and he does have that persona that he'd handle a situation. Mm. My concern would be, of course, though, playing him in such a big game out of position.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. And in the front line. I reckon he'd handle fullback State of Origin, no problem.
He'd be a star.
Absolutely no problem. I reckon Dugan, well, we know he can do that.
Mm.
Dugan can play centre as well, so he's shown he can play in the front line. Anyway, it's all interesting stuff. Grist for the mill.
Laurie Daly also told me that Frizzell and Ryan James, he's looking very closely at those two for spots on the bench.
Well,
James's aggression and his size, and he's got a huge rap on young Tyson Frizzell too, so we'll see how they are.
He was St George's best forward, wasn't he, Dino, prior to that suspension? He was in awesome form, Frizzell.
Yeah, I think he was a bit rattled by that incident with that young Tim Brown when he got the suspension, Ray. Look, they've had to work on him a little bit to get his confidence back, but they say it's back today, and he'd be ready to go.
Probably not as rattled as Tim Brown was by the incident, I've got to say. Dino, very good this morning. We'll speak next week.
No worries, guys. Just before I go, very quickly, Jamie Sowe, there is some talk out of Penrith that he might come back a week early for that Friday night game against Brisbane. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't publicised much during the week, but Jamie Bure is now gone for the season at Manly, so their injury toll continues. And just finally, 11 years ago today, we lost our great mate Peter Flingost, and I know Ray was very close to him, so... Mm-hmm. Hopefully Chippy's family's still obviously coping it, and we all miss him very much. So, yeah,
11 years to the day.
11 years ago.
Time goes very fast, doesn't it?
Wow. Good on you, Dino. Well done.
Thanks, Dino.
Thanks, man.
Dean Bulldog Richie there. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back with your calls.
Hi, Mark Taylor here. I've been the ambassador for Parramatta Mission for over 18 years, and on Friday, May 29, I'm hosting the Raising Hope Gala Dinner. Raising Hope aims to provide crisis accommodation and support to women facing homelessness. Come along and meet some of my good mates, Chris Barth and Jim Wilson, along with the fantastic people of Parramatta Mission. parramattamission.org.au.
Garlo's pies are the best pies in Australia. They're my favourite pie. An all Australian owned and family operated business, Garlo's pies produce only the best quality premium pies. A magnificent range using only 100% lean Aussie beef, including chunky steak, curried beef, or the delicious lamb and rosemary. Just beautiful. Garlo's pies available in all Coles and IGA stores, and if they're not there, ask for Garlo's by name. At Garlo's Pies, we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
Tap Saddle Up Sunday. Visit our most exciting regions, like the central districts of New South Wales.
It's Mudgee's turn to saddle up today. A great day for the whole family is guaranteed, featuring fashions on the field, plenty of kids' entertainment, and a range of hospitality options available. Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing have the mounting yard covered at Mudgee today.
For more on Tab Saddle Up Sundays, visit gocountryracing.com.au.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. You can call in on 1353 53 and SMS and 0419 767 272. And Rod from now is there. Rod, good morning.
Raymond, how are you, mate?
Terrific. Rod, how are you?
Good. Jimmy, are you still?
Yes, Rodney.
How are you, mate?
Very well.
Don't call me Rodney. Only Mum calls me that. Call me Rod.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Rod.
Okay, listen, I'll put a big congratulations at the junior team. I'm Sharks junior team yesterday, born in Howard Matthews. They both made their grand finals yesterday.
Ah, now, this has got young Flanagan's in the SG Ball side, and I think a young Les Davidson is in the Harold Matt side.
And a young Phil Gould.
Oh, yeah, Jack Gould's in there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he scored a try yesterday. And so I don't think it's ever happened before, so I think it's the first.
Okay.
You can check that out for me. I know it's a first day first, mate, but really, it's a big thing for a little club growing up.
That's a great effort.
Now, number two, especially against a junior footy's like a bear, Jimmy, all them Canterbury and Parramatta are so strong, you know that.
Well, I was speaking to Les Davidson, and his son had to play the semi-final the next day, and he said, yeah, it's very tough. They were playing Parramatta, and he said, oh, that's going to be very tough. Well, they ended up winning that one, obviously, and they're through to the final, so well done.
29-28, they won that one. Still got by a young halfback. Now, the fight tonight.
Yes.
I can't see Pac-Man doing anything to Foot Motor. I really can't, honestly. I've been watching boxing for a long time, and I'm going to put it out there now. Pac-Man has got the big Floyd Mayweather, his arms are the biggest I've ever seen in fight, so he's definitely going for the knockout.
Yeah.
The strange thing about this, the first time I've ever noticed it in boxing, the fighters are wearing different gloves.
The fighters are wearing different gloves?
Yes, Pac-Man's wearing the Reyes glove, which is the puncher's glove.
Yeah, it's interesting, yeah.
So it's a smaller glove, it's more made for punching. Mayweather's using, a bigger, puffier glove, more a fighter's glove.
And there was controversy from the Pacquiao camp that Mayweather's gloves had too much packing, so it's been controversy right through. I tend to agree with you, Rod, because I think Pacquiao's going to come out and try and be the aggressor, but Mayweather's such a brilliant, smart boxer. As Johnny Lewis said earlier, Rod, he'll probably dictate the fight, and then if the opportunity comes, Johnny Lewis has predicted a knockout as well.
Well, that's the reason they call him Pretty Boy, mate, because you watch him fight, he's probably the best defensive boxer I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
The bloke doesn't get hit.
Just on that glove thing, is that not a sponsorship thing? That's not a...
No, it's just part of the fight contract.
Okay. I'll give you a stat, which I read yesterday. Average punches per fight for each fighter, the last five fights. Pacquiao, 700+.
Mm-hmm.
Mayweather, 433.
Yeah, we'll start on more punches, Pac-Man, but... The secret of boxing is, I've done a bit of boxing and trained a few more stuff. The secret of boxing is you can't miss. Mm. When you miss, you're tired.
You'll
throw
waste energy.
Punches.
He'll throw
600 punches, Pac-Man, but he'll miss probably 450.
Yeah. Terrific.
Maybe he'll throw 450 and land 450.
Yeah, exactly. Good on you, Rod. Appreciate that.
Have a good weekend, guys. I'm big day today, Jimmy. The BB's opening soon and the flights are on.
Good on you, Rod.
Tell you what, spending a Sunday with Rod,
it'd be good fun.
That'd be an education, wouldn't it?
And just a quick one, Pacquiao hasn't knocked an opponent out for 6 years.
There was a lot of controversy earlier today about whether there'd been a knockout in a Pacquiao fight over the last 5 years, and there has been. It was Pacquiao got knocked out. So 1353 53 is the open line number. Time now for a sports update, Paramat, from Tanya.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with a sports update, here's Tanya White.
Samoa recorded a thrilling 18-16 win over Tonga in last night's International League match on the Gold Coast. Frank Pritchard and Sam Cassiano pulled off an incredible tackle in the 78th minute to save the match. Coach Matt Parrish said that the tackle typified their spirit and what it meant for them to play. In the other match, Fiji 22 beat PNG 10. Today in Wagga, the annual City versus Country, and in Brisbane, it's Australia versus New Zealand in the Anzac Test. After an amazing start to the season, GWS has come back to earth after an 87 7-point flogging by West Coast in the AFL match in Perth, 120-33. There was another flogging at the Gabba, the Gold Coast, 118, defeating Brisbane, 54, and Hawthorne, 130, beat North Melbourne, 70. Earlier in the day, the Swans suffered their first SCG loss in 12 months, beaten by the Western Bulldogs, 77-73. Nick Kyrgios has reached his first ATP final after a three-set comeback semi-final win over Pablo Carreño Busta at the Estoril Open. In the final, he'll play Richard Gasquet. While at the other end of the spectrum, we've got Roger Federer looking for his 85th title when he takes on Pablo Cuevas in the final of the Istanbul final. And Casey Delacroix has had a kickstart to her French Open preparations. She had a first round win over Francesca Schiavone 6-4, 7-6 at the Madrid Open. In Super Rugby, the Melbourne Rebels had a 16-15 win over the Chiefs at Amy Park. The win is their fifth for the season, which has equaled their previous best, and there are still five rounds to go. While the Western Force had a club record 10th straight loss, beaten by the Blues in Auckland 41-24. The Hurricanes still on top with a 29-23 win over the Crusaders in Wellington, and this morning in Bloemfontein, an upset with the Cheetahs beating the Stormers 25-17. It's do or die for Wellington and Melbourne City when they meet in the second Elimination A-League final today in Wellington. The last two meetings between the two finished goalless. While in the English Premier League, Leicester 3, Newcastle 0, Aston Villa 3, Everton 2, Liverpool 2, QPR 1, Sunderland 2, Southampton 1, Swansea 2, Stoke 0, West Ham 1, 0 over Burnley, Man United 0, West Brom 1. And now overnight, Chelsea will play Crystal Palace, and a win for Chelsea will give them the EPL trophy. World Golf Championships this morning in San Francisco, and John Sendon is into the quarterfinals. He beat Hunter Mahan earlier this morning, and he'll play Gary Woodland in that quarterfinal. Woodland knocked out Mark Leishman out of the top 16. In the other four quarterfinals, it's Rory McIlroy versus Paul Casey. Jim Furyk takes on Louis Oosthuizen, and Tommy Fleetwood takes on Danny Willett. The first of those matches to start in 10 minutes' time. The semis and the final and the consolation final all play tomorrow. Stumps on day two of the third and final cricket test between England and the West Indies in Bridgetown. The West Indies all out for 189 in reply to England's first innings of 257. The Poms crashed in the final session this morning. They were 4-28 at the close of play, but they do lead overall by 100. Coming up very soon, the first leg of the Triple Crown with the running of the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs, where American Pharoah is the favourite at $3.40 on TAB fixed odds, followed by Dortmund and $4.50. And as been mentioned all morning, the fight of the century later today at the MGM Grand in Vegas, Floyd Mayweather Jr. taking on Manny Pacquiao.
Got a tip for us, Tan, in that one?
Which one?
The fight.
The fight. Dare I say it? Don't know. Don't care.
Not fair a fight enough. Person.
Fair enough.
But what I do care about is at All Phones Arena today, the New South Wales Swifts taking on the Melbourne Vixens. Expectations for a massive crowd for that, because there's not a great deal of sport in Sydney today, and they're hoping to break the regular season record of 10,118, which was set last year.
Wow.
Yeah. Big that numbers. Weekend that was played was the same weekend, I think, Canberra May played Manly, and they beat a couple of the NRL games.
So,
that'll be a great match. So, Ray, you were saying before, you're not sure whether to watch the fights or
Channel surfing, I think.
Yeah, we'll be watching the netball, I'm afraid.
There you go. You've been told, Raymond. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break and then we'll be back with the running of the Kentucky Derby.
Sky Sports Radio starts your race day with Racing HQ, a jam-packed racing news program, followed at 10 by Tab Talk. Then the barrier swam open with the National Racing Service. It's a complete day of live racing and entertainment on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
These days, it's okay to be a little crazy. Coco Joy is crazy about all things coconut and about bringing the joy back into everyday life. Coco Joy boasts a full range of products, including Coco Joy 100% coconut water, naturally sweeter than the others, but with no added sugar, no hidden nasties, just full of goodness. Then there's Coco Joy coconut milk and Coco Joy Kids. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy. At a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
When your multi is going well, sometimes you wish you could just take the money and run. Well, now...
you can eject on your multi with Tab's Cash Out. It's not a decision I take lightly, but when I do, it's an amazing feeling to land.
With that cash in my hand. Eject on your multi with Tab's Cash Out.
A business. Garlo's pies are the best premium quality pies. Apparently they let Terry... Sean, this is Sean's old man. They let him in the store as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I understand.
Not near the pies, too close.
We sampled one before. How good were they?
I sampled three, actually.
Wow.
Just to confirm, they're only the mini pies. Mm. They're the mini pies. Very, very nice. I even took on a sausage roll as well. Very good.
Broke my rule and had one before lunchtime.
Yeah. What did you think?
Outstanding.
Yeah, they're very good. And well done to everyone, the staff here at Sky Racing.
For leaving some behind?
Exactly. Because they didn't do it last week. And there was a blow-up. The difference with a Garlo's pie is this deliciously flaky pastry on top, a bottom which is rolled extra thin, and a filling full of only 100% lean Aussie beef. These pies are bursting with flavour. Garlo's pies are available in all Coles and IGA stores. If you can't find them, please go and knock on the door and ask someone at the store, "Where's Garlo's pies?" That's what we did. A magnificent range like chunky steak, curry beef and the chicken breast pies, plus Garlo's selection of family pies, junior pies, which we've been into, and their famous sausage rolls, to name a few.
A bit of Tanya's sauce just to top it off.
Garlo's pies, they're thin on pastry, they are big on meat.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And they're moving in or towards the barriers for the Kentucky Derby. Jimmy, the tradition over there at Churchill Downs to sing "My Old Kentucky Home" as the horses walk out onto the track. It'd be one of the great moments in American sport, that in world sport.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic, wasn't it? Number three on your bucket list. Yes, we'll do the show from there next year. Someone said if you do the show from Pamplona, you've got to run with the bulls, you know.
That's the whole idea.
Yeah, we'd love to do that. In the meantime, whilst we're waiting for the Kentucky Derby here, why don't we speak to Trent Lenscow from tab.com.au. Good morning, Trent.
Good morning to you, Jimmy, and good morning to Ray as well.
Yeah, good morning, Trent. And
fight of the century.
Yes, the unification of the welterweight belts around about 1 o'clock this afternoon our time from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, and Floyd Mayweather is the favourite at $1.60, but the support is coming, fellas, for Manny Pacquiao. He's now $2.35. He's round about been $2.60 for most of the week, so I think the Aussies are getting behind the underdog, even though it's all the way over in Las Vegas. But there's plenty of markets. There's the mess of the result where Mayweather by decisions, the $2.10 favourite. Pacquiao by knockout or TKO, $3.75. Pacquiao by decision, $4.25. Mayweather by knockout, $6.50. A drawn fight at $13. And there's also ones like the exact result, will the bout go 12 rounds? Mm. And also, if you back either boxer in the head-to-head market with your TAB account or TAB rewards card, and if your boxer gets knocked out in the first 6 rounds, we'll replace your stake with a bonus bet up to $50 or equivalent TAB rewards points. So another incentive to just have a flutter on the fight.
Yeah, I think everyone's sort of in Manny's corner, aren't they, hoping he can win, but Floyd looks the obvious favourite and the one to beat. But don't forget, as a listener's just texted in, Jimmy, Oscar De La Hoya and Sugar Shane Mosley were going to beat Manny Pacquiao, and they didn't either, so... Trent, what about the City Country Origin game today?
Yes, now at 1:45 this afternoon there in Wagga Wagga, where Country at $2, City at $1.85, with City giving away a slender 1.5-point start. Margin betting, City won the 12, $3.25. Country won the 12 at $3.40. City 13 plus, $3.60. And Country 13 plus, $4.50. City's James Tedesco is the $8 favourite to score the first try. And then the Anzac Test now at 4 o'clock at Suncorp Stadium. If you bet on the Anzac Test, it was supposed to be played Friday night, all bets stand as it's being played within the three-day rule. Australia $1.40, New Zealand $3.10. Australia's giving away a 7.5-point start in the margin betting. The Aussies 13+, $2.50. By 1-12, $2.85. The Kiwis 1-12, $4.25. 13+, $8.50. Alex Johnston is the $8 favourite to score the first try, with Josh Dugan, Greg Inglis and Michael Jennings at $9.
The three-day rule.
There you go. Just in case that, similar to some other events that have been postponed and they sometimes get put back a day, Jimmy, that 3 days for the sport. Unusual, but it does come into play.
Well, just on that point then, Trent, the fixed odds betting and the tote betting on the Hawkesbury meeting yesterday, can you just explain to our listeners what happens there?
Yeah, tote betting, everything was refunded by the first race. So aside from if you had a running double, you had race one, the winner, and the race two, the field. But all the tote bets were refunded. But fixed odds, because it's a one-day rule for the fixed odds, if when the bets are placed on races where the final field was announced on Wednesday, so we only opened up betting, there was no all-in markets.
Yep.
And because of the fact that the meeting isn't being run today, all bets will be refunded. If the meeting was even transferred to another venue, say Rosehill or anything like that, they still would have been refunded because it's not run at the same track. So it'll just be brand new markets for the, was it Ray, the Hawkesbury Guineas and the Darley Crown, which will be at Rosehill on Saturday, and then the Hawkesbury Gold Cup. I think the horses that were due to run in it will be running in a race at Warwick Farm. Is it the following Wednesday? Or
This Wednesday, but I don't think it'll be the Hawkesbury Cup field, though.
I think it was nominations, wasn't it? And they just went from there.
All right, mate, three matches to finish round five in the AFL. Just go through the head-to-heads for those for us, please, mate.
Yes, Jimmy, 110 at the MCG, Melbourne $5.25, Fremantle $1.16, $3.20 at Etihad Stadium, St Kilda $6.50, Essendon $1.12, and then $4.40 at the Adelaide Oval, the showdown over in the City of Churches, the Crows $2.35, Port Adelaide $1.60. There is plenty on, fellas, including Game 7 of the NBA playoffs, the LA Clippers and the San Antonio Spurs at 10 o'clock. So it's a busy day of sporting action.
Absolutely. Good on you, Trent. You're across it all. We do appreciate it, mate. We'll speak next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks,
Trent Lanscale there from tab.com.au. We're still waiting for horses to be loaded over here at Churchill Downs. Can you just run through the market for us there, Raymond? And you might give us a little tip, too, whilst you're at it.
American Pharaoh is still the favourite, about 390, although there is a move into 340 now, and it's a move for Dortmund. He's the stablemate, and he's my tip, actually, Jimmy. I liked his win. I think it was in the Santa Anita Derby last start. But, look, there's four horses in this race who have collectively had 19 starts and won 17 races. It's one of the better Kentucky Derbies in recent years. American Pharaoh was the champion two-year-old last year, and he's trying now to win the race that will pretty much stops America for 2 minutes at least.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a horse, number one, Oco Oco Oco, trained by James Cassidy. Not our James Cassidy.
He can do anything.
Now, I'm going to go with Carpe Diem, number two. I think it's going to seize the day. That'll be a $9 chance at tab fixed odds. So there's my tip, Carpe Diem, for what it's worth.
Exactly. A couple of quick SMSs, Jimmy, from James. Pacific Island Rugby League tests were very entertaining yesterday, and they were, weren't they? Well done, the NRL, on smart rescheduling those rep games. That's a point that you raised earlier. Just read the scheduling of some of these rep games, and it never made sense, does it, to have the Australian test match before the Origin. It's worked for years, I know, but
Has it worked? It just is what it is.
But it makes a lot more sense to go through the Origin. Then again, after three Origin games, a lot of those players are absolutely spent. They've got to try and get themselves up for the back half of the season.
Well, this goes back to what we were talking about with Shane Richardson and what the rugby league calendar might look like in the next broadcast deal. I would be very, very surprised if State of Origin wasn't standalone.
And it should be.
Yeah.
It should be a standalone. And it just gives the players an opportunity.
And therefore less rounds of the National Rugby League. It might come down from 26 rounds, 24 games to 22 games or something like that. Still waiting for these horses to be loaded here.
A while, Jimmy.
Yeah,
they
so
always
we,
do.
Why don't we get hold of Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars? He'll join us on the line, and just in case we have to break in, I'm sure he'll be okay with that. G'day, Scotty.
Good morning, boys. And mate, I'm always on time, aren't I?
Scotty. Well done.
I tell you what, there was a time in your life, Scotty, a couple of years ago, when reliability wasn't top of the tree, but now
he's
that
a
you're
new dad, now.
Oh, new dad, it's all falling into place.
Certainly is, boys.
All right, tell us about these two cars you got. First up, the 2011 Toyota Kluger KXS wagon.
a beautiful car. It's a one owner in fantastic condition. Comes with logbooks and service history. It has all the bells and whistles, including leather trim, front and rear climate control, air conditioning, power steering, power windows, cruise control, ABS brakes, brake assist, 8 airbags, traction control, vehicle stability control, reversing camera, heated front seats. It's got a rear spoiler and 19-inch alloy wheels. You top it off with the third row of seats and you have one of the most popular seven-seaters on the market. This is one of the best I've seen, and we have priced it cheaper than the rest at just $28,990 drive away. It's on the website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, and that's a great car for a great price.
Mm. And the opposite end of the spectrum, Scotty, a little Holden Brina. These are great cars, terrific second car, or even more importantly, the first car for the son or daughter.
It certainly is. You can nearly tow this around with the Kluger. So this one is. It's a little 2008 TK Barina hatch. It's automatic with air conditioning, power steering, power windows, ABS brakes, dual airbags. It's got alloy wheels and a sports body kit. So this little automatic hatch not only looks great, but it's very economical and safe. It's only done 61,000 kilometres. It does have logbooks and service history. So it's going to be very, very reliable as well. So you'll be buying a great little automatic hatch. So it is the perfect first car for the son or daughter, and also great for the hip pocket because it's only $6,990 today. And this one won't last long. These small, cheap little economical four-cylinder autos are very hard to get, and this one will go very fast. So give us a call on 963-75024 or go to the website www.fosterscualitycars.com.au.
All right, fosterscualitycars.com.au. And, of course, the idea of you coming on this program is for you to sell a few cars, and you've been able to do that to listeners over the years, Scotty.
Certainly have, and one of those boys is Bob Springfield. Mate, he's out at Cooleymore Stud, Ludnam there. He sends in some other people as well, and Zach bought a car from us earlier last week. So it's good to see that the program is getting some listeners in.
Fantastic. And no footy for Winnie this weekend?
No, boys, the Ron Massey were meant to play today, but the weather's washed that out, and the New South Wales Cup rep games are on up in Brisbane today, so all the New South Wales Cup games were off for that rep game, and hopefully the New South Wales boys can set the precedent for New South Wales and have a win today.
Be nice, wouldn't it? Be fantastic. Check out those couple of good options and any other great options there at fosterscualitycars.com.au, or you can give the guys a call, 9637-5024. Good on you, Scotty. Enjoy your day, mate.
All right, boys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, great. Scotty. Well, they're moving in behind the barriers, Jimmy. This is, as I mentioned earlier, one of my bucket list items from sport. The fact is just SMS'd in. Morning, gents. My holy grail is the US Masters. And what could possibly be trumped by that is the Socceroos making the World Soccer Cup final, which would be true. But I'd love to be there right now, Jimmy, as they mill in behind the barriers, one or two to go in.
Yeah, and we've had a few tweets come in here. Vaughan should be well and truly there. And away they go.
Farrell got away very well from that outside post. Dortmund did too. Toward the inside, there's Carpe Diem up close. Danzig Moon showing speed too. Firing line on the outside. In the shadow of the twin spires of the Derby Field, races for the clubhouse turn. And Dortmund is in front. Firing line on the outside is racing in second. And American Pharoah's on the outside in third. Carpe Diem is running in fourth. Bolo comes on to be fifth. Danzig Moon pulled back in behind horses running in sixth. Then it's Mr. Z from 7th, Ocho, 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 8th and on the inside. Ten Senders running in 9th, Upstart 3 wide in 10th, Moopta Hidge settles in toward the rail from 11th. It's a Knockout is running in 12th, Materiality is 13th, Frosted is 14th, War Story is 15th by 3. And then it's Fermento running 3rd to last with Keen Ice, and the late running Far Right is the last of them all. Down the backstretch at Churchill Downs, the first half mile was just 47 at 1/5 seconds of the long-legged Dortmund. With 5 furlongs to go, pressed along by Firing Line. They're a half a length apart with just outside of a half mile to go. A break of 2 lengths back, American Pharoah is 3 wide, racing 3rd to the far turn run. Carpe Diem is running along in 4th. Danzig Moon is now 5th. Ocho, Ocho, Ocho putting in a bid 6th and toward the inside. And then it's Bolo running in 7th. Moopta Hidge coming under pressure from 8th. Mr. Z, it's a Knockout. Frosted is starting to warm up, but he's going very wide as the field, rounds the far turn, and firing lines in front. But American Pharoah is looming up on the far outside, and Dortmund is digging down toward the rail, and these three are off the turn together. Dortmund cut the corner, American Pharoah went wide, and firing line is firing between those two, heading to the final furlong of the Kentucky Derby. American Pharoah on the outside, firing line hanging tough from the back of the pack. It's Frosted Dortmund down toward the rail, 16th to go, and American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby. Firing line, Dortmund and Frosted were second, third, and fourth.
So there you go, 18, wow. 10, and there'll be a photo for third, but we think it was 8 that got there. American Pharoah was
18, Jimmy.
18, but yeah. 8 got there for third. Mm-hmm. 18 was the favourite American Pharoah that has saluted over there at Churchill Downs. We will come back with full confirmation and the prices that they paid after this break on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. And, of course, we'll have Dave Dennis and Trent Barrett.
Send Sky Sports Radio a message by email. Any person, any program, any matter. One email address will find us all. Go to skysportsradio.com.au, click feedback and follow the prompt. It's that easy.
Garlow's pies are the best pies in Australia. They're my favourite pie. An all-Australian-owned and family-operated business, Garlow's Pies produce only the best quality premium pies. A magnificent range using only 100% lean Aussie beef. Mum, Friday night is pie night with Garlow's family pies and sausage rolls. Garlow's Pies, available in all Coles and IGA stores, and if they're not there, ask for Garlow's by name. At Garlow's Pies, we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
Wales Truck Repairs. Safety and compliance are your priority. You can count on Wales Truck Repairs to get your truck back in business in the unfortunate event of an accident. Wales Truck Repairs is proudly Australian and for the past 40 years has earned a reputation for excellence and leadership in the industry. For all information, visit WalesTrucks.com, spelled W-A-L-E-S, trucks.com.
Where it's moving and where it's not. Sydney traffic on the Big Sports Breakfast.
And on Sydney's northern beaches, Queenscliff and Pittwater Road, Oliver Street, and two-car accident, northbound lane 1. We also have that accident at Rouse Hill still to clear up from Windsor Road and Mile End Road. Heavy traffic continues from Marsh Street, Arncliff, to Mascot's International Airport Terminal. Lights flashing yellow, Forest Road and Bexley Road. And at Gosford, on the Brisbane waterfront, the lights have been playing up Dane Drive near the Gosford swimming pool. Are you an NRMA member? Save 30% at Travelodge hotels in Australia and New Zealand when you book before May 10. To book, visit tfehotels.com and enter the code NRMA30. Conditions apply. That's the latest traffic, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
On Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Radio's biggest and best serve of weekend sports.
And welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Just repeating, American Pharoah, the favourite, ridden by Victor Espinosa, who won the Derby last year on California Chrome. He's gone back-to-back, and Bob Baffert has trained his fourth Kentucky Derby winner, just waiting on those final results for the placings. But talk of champions, because that horse is a champion two-year-old now, America's champion three-year-old. The champions of Super Rugby, Waratahs, are making a really terrific defence of their title this season. An important win on Friday night against the Brumbies down in Canberra, 13-10 for the Tars. Their seventh win of the season, move within 1 point of the Brumbies in the lead for the Australian Conference. Significantly, Jimmy, with a game in hand for the Waratahs. And their skipper, Dave Dennis, has been good enough to join us. Dave, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Terrific. Congratulations on Friday. Tough win, but it's those sort of games that can set up a season for a team like the Waratahs. They had to tough it out and find a way to win against the Brumbies.
Yeah, it was really tough, mate. I think very physical game. Mm. I think we started the match quite well, although they scored early, and it was basically just a bit of a dogfight that second half. Just a lot of defence, and I was really proud of the way the boys. I worked their way out of it and got the result.
The record's not great down there, Dave. Does that come up at all in preparation for the game, or is it you looking at it just exactly what the 80 minutes presents?
No, we did mention that. We hadn't won down there since 2011. We hadn't won in the time that Michael Checker had come to the club.
Mm.
And that we'd sort of
changed a lot of things that we've been trying to do at the club. So that was a significant achievement for us to win that match, and really need to push forward now.
Yeah, Dave Michalczewski said after the game that you really have to earn your wins this season because they're defending premiers. Are you finding opposition teams are raising their level when they play against the Tars?
Yeah, very much so. I think having that championship tag obviously adds a bit more spice to the game, and teams have always wanted to knock us off regardless, but a little bit more this year. But I think also, without being too arrogant, I don't think we've fully hit our straps in terms of our potential as a team as well. So it's a bit of both at this stage, and we need to keep working hard as a team to try and play consistently as well.
The difficulty of going back to back is that once you've realised your dream, as you guys did in winning the Super Tournament last year, that sometimes the hunger's not there. What are the things that are in place this year for the Waratahs, Dave, that make sure that individuals and the team are hungry for success again?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. The first thing is that what we've really tried to build at the club over the last couple of years is a culture and an environment that demands hard work and professionalism. I think that's the thing that I often stress with the group, to keep working hard to get results. I think 1 year is obviously not good enough. And that really motivates the guys to keep performing at a high level. And on top of that, I think, we've got a high turnover next year, and there's a number of guys who are leaving. This will be their last year, particularly a stalwart like Cliffy Parler, who's been in the club for over 10 years. Adam Ashley Cooper, Sikobi Kepu. So really important guys who have been a big part of the club and the success of late. Moving on, I think that's another key motivator for obviously themselves, but also the guys around them.
Dave, probably a difficult question for you to answer, but who won the battle between David Pocock and Michael Hooper?
Yeah, I think I got asked that after the match. My opinion on it is that they're both world-class players, but they're just different players, and they offer something slightly different. I thought Pocock did very well to slow our ball down and broke our rhythm in terms of how we wanted to attack and play our style of game. It was very hard to get momentum in attack. And then on the other side of that, I thought our attack with Hooper carrying the ball in hand and his work rate and his ability to make a high amount of tackles, I think, is something that we really value as a team. So they offer two great qualities in terms of what they do, and I think they'll both be obviously in the Wallaby squad later in the year.
Can they be in the Wallaby 15?
Well, that's something Jeffy can talk about. I mean, I think the only thing holding back is what most people would view would be the set piece around the lineout. But Jeff's quite creative in the way he runs things, and I think I think they can be on the field at the same time. Whether they start the match together, I'm not sure.
Fair enough. Dave, next week you take on Western Force, who are 0-10 after winning their first game of the season. Is that a danger game in some respects for the Waratahs?
Yeah, very much so. I think you don't need to tell people who they won that game.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, they're not playing terribly. They're just not getting results. I think they're back home as well, which is going to be dangerous for us. They'll take confidence out of that first-round result against us, and they'll be hungry for another win because they've lost 9 in a row now.
Yeah, 10 in a row now,
I think, and then on top of that, like you mentioned earlier, every team obviously wants to knock off the champions. So we're going to really need to prepare well this week to take on a hungry team over in Perth.
Yeah, well, Dave, as we mentioned, putting up a great defence of the title thus far. Good luck with that game against the Western Force and, of course, the rest of the Super 15 season. Great to have you on the program this morning.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for
Dave Dennis, Waratahs skipper there after that 13-10 victory against the Brumbies on Friday night. Now we go from Canberra straight to Wagga Wagga in the heart of the Riverina, and there one of Riverina's favourite sons, Trent Barrett, will be coaching the Country Origin side in this annual clash, and Trent's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Trent.
Hi, boys. How you going?
Yeah, really well. How's things going for the countryside? And, you probably hear it all the time, Trent, about the relevance of the game, but how relevant is this 80 minutes going to be for your 17 players?
Yeah, mate, it's very important to them. You know, and going by how they prepare themselves this week on and off the field and their attitude, it does mean a lot to them.
And I've said through the week that I didn't want to pick anyone who didn't want to play, who didn't think they had anything to play for. So, mate, they're in good spirits. They've trained really well. I couldn't have asked them to do any more. So we'll see how we go today.
Yeah, Trent, one of the beauties of this match is that it takes elite players to the grassroots level of football, and I can imagine Wagga just be buzzing ahead of this afternoon's game.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of people around, and you know, I think the ground only holds 8,000 or something. They've sold close to 7,000 tickets already.
Yeah.
So, mate, it's a beautiful day down here. It's going to be about 24 degrees, which is great. But we have done a lot of work throughout the Riverina this week. We're at Griffiths for 2 days, Monday, Tuesday, and then have been over here the rest of the week. So, mate, all the blokes being from the area are more than happy to do all the community work and the skills, the school stuff. They've been terrific.
Does Laurie Daly have much input into how he wants you to play, Trent, where he wants to see players in what type of position at different stages during the course of the game? Have you spoken much about that with Laurie?
No, not really. I had a coffee with Laurie yesterday morning and just give him an update on how the week went and what individuals have impressed me the most, I guess. But he had fair input into the team that I did pick. We were both on the same page there anyway, so that was easy. But as to how we play it is up to me. He doesn't get involved in that. But, you know, the players know what's at stake, and there is a few of them, or a lot of them, I think, in both these sides that are a big chance of making the Origin team, so it's an important one.
Who'd you tell him? Had impressed you during the week?
Now, I've been really impressed with all our back rowers, actually, with Frizzell, Josh Jackson and Joel Thompson. Mm. And they've been really good. And I think Joel Thompson's really come of age. He's turned into a senior player, and he's been terrific this week. Jack Whiten's another one. I've had a rap on him for a few years. But nothing phases Jack. He's a tough bugger. He's skillful. He can play a number of positions. And, James Maloney's been really good. Named him captain this week, and he's taken that on and been really good.
Yeah, Trent, there's a lot of focus on the Battle of the Halves, particularly the Maloney-Reynolds showdown, but Jack Bird, his form's been outstanding. What's your take on Jack? And he's a young kid really making his name for himself, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he is. You know, and he's been thrusted into this position quite early. I think he'll handle it okay. He's a confident kid. Not sure what position he is yet. I'm not sure whether he is an out-and-out 5'8". You know, maybe a lock forward down the track.
But
he's a strong ball runner, and that's his strength, and that's what I want him to do today. I won't pigeonhole him into a certain role today. But it's been a challenge for me, actually, with Jack, because he is so different. He'll play start on that right edge for us with Tyson Frizzell and Jack White. And so we've got a bit of strike over there. It's probably the youngest a lot of blokes we've got together, but they'll be fine. Jack's been really good.
Been a bit of press around this week about Trent Barrett is the next cab off the rank. When you talk about NRL coaches, you've got a public endorsement from your general manager out there at Penrith in Phil Gould. Is it a matter of just putting your hand up for the next job, Trent, or do you be more selective than that?
Yeah, I think beggars can't be choosers. There's not too many jobs that come up for grabs, but look, I don't think it's a matter of applying for them, to be honest. I think if a club wants to go down that route and give someone a go, then they'll come and find you. But, mate, all I can do is work hard out there at Penrith, and I tried to do a really good job this week. And the players, ultimately, are the ones who will say you can't or you can catch. Hopefully they walk away with a good impression this week. But mate, my main focus is to get them ready. And, you know, it's a huge game for some of them and could put them well on track to a Kangaroo jersey down the track.
How many Barretts coming across from tomorrow today, Trent?
Yeah, there's a few. I'm about to get about 20 tickets today. A lot of kids, so they requested tickets on the hill while the mums did, so the kids can have a run around.
Isn't that great, though?
Fantastic.
Yeah, terrific.
1:45 kickoff for that City v Country game out at McDonald's Park at Wagga Wagga. And, Trent, we wish you all the best with that, and appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks, Colin.
Thanks so much, Trent.
Trent Barrett there, coach of the countryside.
Isn't that great he comes on? Like, it's only a few hours to kick off now with that early kick-off at 1:45, and been great of his time. And a little insight there into just some of those little positional changes he's got for the country origin team. And like Jack Bird at halfback, I'm interested to see how he goes there.
You better give us a tip. You're a country boy, though.
Yeah, I'm a country man.
So. I don't even look at the form for this
you
one.
You just go for country, yeah. You have
country
to, yeah.
Every time, I'm afraid. Now, we've got the big test match today this afternoon. We think in pretty good conditions up there at Suncorp.
Well, hopefully the rain's gone. Look, whenever Thurston plays for Australia, I'm like you. When Thurston and Inglis in the Australian side, they just win, Jim.
Yeah, I think Australia 1-12 in that one, in what we hope is a great game. And, of course, the fight of the century, Raymond. Who do you like? Manny Pacquiao or Floyd Mayweather?
I'd love to see Manny win. Freddie Roach, hasn't he been great? I've been loving this interview with Freddie Roach. He's been fantastic. But I just think Floyd Mayweather is such a smart boxer, and he'll do what he has to do to win on points. But Johnny Lewis's take, very interesting. He thinks he can win it by knockout, Floyd Mayweather.
Freddie Roach said he's fallen asleep during some of Floyd Mayweather's fights. Let's hope his fighter today, Manny Pacquiao, doesn't fall asleep during that one. I'm a little bit like you too. I'd like to see Manny Pacquiao win it. But I think Floyd Mayweather will probably do that. Have a great day, mate.
You too, Jimmy.
And, of course, coming up on Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Racing Retro with Ron Duffacy, Richard Freeman and Brent Zarafa, bringing you all your Sunday morning racing news and reviews. Peter Snowden will be on as well. So let's join our host now, Matthew Browning.
Very good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us for Racing Retro. The Group 1 racing this weekend was over in South Australia. They had two Group 1 races on the program, the Robert Sangster Stakes and also the Australasian Oaks. Two nice winners too, one from Sydney and one from Perth. Queensland racing yesterday afternoon was at Toowoomba, despite some terrible weather in the lead up to that race meeting. They got through, they had the Toowoomba Cup and also the Wheatwood Handicap. However, this awful weather that's been along the east coast for some weeks now, certainly over the past couple of days, it's been quite intense. It did put paid to the Hawkesbury standalone Saturday. That very popular race meeting was called off after the first race on the program. The boys are here. Ron Duffacy made the trek out there to Hawkesbury for one race, then turned around and went home. Good morning to you, Ron.
Yeah, good morning, Matt. Unfortunate situation for the Hawkesbury Race Club. But, you know, they had half an inch of rain before the first race, and obviously that just topped the trek up and can't do anything about it. It was just an unfortunate situation. But I tell you what, when I got home, I did let out a cheer for that little miracles of life. What a ripper she is, and a real crowd favourite.
She's a bonnie mare, isn't she? We're going to chat with her trainer this morning. Richard Freeman is here. Good morning to you, Richard.
Good morning, Matt. Yeah, positively, the Toowoomba meeting was a beauty. They had great weather, which was surprising given the day before was dreadful. I don't think they copped the worst brunt of it there, but the track certainly raced superbly for the weather that they'd had. And once again, a very good meeting in South Australia. I felt for Brian Fletcher when he had to call that race meeting off. There are so many pressures, you know, on that. It's their biggest day. Everybody's there. He's got sponsors to consider. He's got functions that have been scheduled on the track. You know, it's just a very difficult decision to make. So I thought he looked very disappointed, and rightly so, because it will cost them in turnover. It will cost them in crowd. It'll cost them everywhere you look, and just unfortunate for their big day.
And the thing about Brian, he lives and breathes the Hawkesbury Race Club. He put so much work into that race meeting, so you're right, it must have been quite heartbreaking. Brent Zarafa was also there at Hawkesbury, albeit briefly yesterday. Welcome to you, Brent.
Yes, good morning, Matt. Good morning, everyone. Disappointing what happened there with Hawkesbury, but I thought one of the highlights of the actual racing day yesterday was Delicacy winning the South Australia, the Australasian Oaks. She was fantastic. For a filly to win an Oaks and a Derby in WA and then travel across to South Australia and do it and then potentially go on in 2 weeks' time and win another derby. She beat the form filly out of the Vinery Stud Stakes in Fenway, who was beating all our better fillies in the eastern states. So the form stacks up quite good. How good is she? We're not quite sure.
Okay. Well, off the top, let's talk about this situation at Hawkesbury yesterday. The standalone race meeting featuring all their good races, the Hawkesbury Guineas and the Darley Crown. Important lead-ups towards that scone meeting in 2 weeks' time. Called off after the first race on the card. I believe there was already a crowd estimated of around 7,000 people already there when they called the meeting off, so it was a terrible shame. Let's hear from the CEO of the Hawkesbury Race Club, Brian Fletcher.
We tried to do everything we could to run the meeting, so the horses got to run, they got to go to Scone and so forth. And but with the rain we had today, like we've had 500 mil in the last 3 weeks, plus, like in the old days, that's 20 inches of rain. And what we've got today, and now it's raining again, it's just become an impossibility. And the jockey safety is first, and they've opened the track up, and you know, they've dug it out a bit. And I've got no problems with the meeting being called off. I get disappointed when somebody says, oh, you should have called it off this morning, as John O'Shea said, but we're racing for $1 million, and you know, the industry participants need that.
The bad part's probably at the 900 metres, from the 600 metres to the winning post. Seems to be okay, but we do have that concern of the horse breaking down, obviously, on the corner as well, but definitely where the track meets up to the chute out of the 1100 metres there, that's probably the worst part of the track, and after walking it with fellow jockeys and everyone else, and the stewards are of the same opinion that it just doesn't seem safe enough to race on, especially with this rain that's come now. It makes it almost impossible.
Terrible shame it really was after the first race on the card, which Kim Waugh won there yesterday. Probably cost the industry around $6 million in lost TAB turnover there. Brett, what's the wash up on this? Can they save any of those feature races? What are they going to do?
Two of the races have been put to Rosehill Gardens next Saturday, so we'll have a 10 race card, and that being the Darley Crown and also the Hawkesbury Guineas. So those two races will be staged at Rosehill at the same distances. Nominations that were originally made for that race will continue. They'll be reopened for horses that want to potentially get into that event. The Cup, the Hawkesbury Gold Cup, 1600 metre race. It can't really be moved to the following week, and then it's hard for a backup into Scone. So what has been done is Racing New South Wales has put an open mile race on the card at Warwick Farm on Wednesday. So we'll have 8 races on the card on Wednesday. The rest of the races there, the Cup is hopefully going to be staged at a later date, also with the two-year-old Claret and the Gold Rush Sprint. The other remaining races have basically just been abandoned. So that seems to be where the wash-up is at this stage. Not ideal with then Scone being 2 weeks after it from yesterday, so you're going to have horses going from the Darley Crown into the Dark Jewel. Now they're going to have a week back up. Whether they make that option, same with the Guineas, whether they go into the Hawkesbury Guineas and then 7 days into the Scone Guineas. It's not going to be ideal, but it's going to give an opportunity for people to run and win those races.
All right, racing's had a bad run. Of course, day one of the championships was postponed. Thankfully, they managed to save it by moving it to the Monday, but its original scheduled date was called off. Maybe you have a comment about that or yesterday's racing. We'd certainly like to hear from you. You can follow us on Twitter at Racing Retro. Leave a comment on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Racing Retro, or of course through our website skyracing.tv/feedback. Good morning to all of our listeners this morning tuned in through Sky Sports Radio. And, of course, all of our viewers in New Zealand watching on the Trackside Network. You've probably got better weather in New Zealand than us over here in Australia at the moment as we go to air.
Got a stronger dollar too.
Yeah, it's almost matching, isn't it? All right, the first race we're going to look at this morning is one of the world's great races. It's the Run for the Roses over there at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. It was the Kentucky Derby, and it was run a short time ago.
Fifth, Ocho 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 putting in a bid, sixth and toward the inside. And that is Bolo running in seventh. Move to Hitch coming under pressure from eighth. Mr. Z, it's a knockout. Frosted is starting to warm up, but he's going very wide as the field rounds the far turn. And Firing Line's in front. But American Pharaoh is looming up on the far outside. And Dortmund is digging down toward the rail. And these three are off the turn together. Dortmund cut the corner. American Pharaoh went wide. And Firing Line is firing between those two. Heading to the final furlong of the Kentucky Derby. American Pharaoh on the outside. Firing Line hanging tough from the back of the pack. It's Frosted. Dortmund down toward the rail. 16th to go. And American Pharaoh and Firing Line. And it's American Pharaoh pulling away late. American Pharaoh rules the Derby.
He was pretty impressive. You've got to give it to him. Trained by Bob Baffert, who's now won the Kentucky Derby 4 times, and jockey Victor Espinosa. He's having a terrific run. He won it last year with California Chrome. He's done it again with this horse, American Pharaoh, who they're calling him the best Triple Crown chance since Secretariat. The last horse to win that Triple Crown over there in America was Affirmed back in 1978. Gee, I'd love to see an American Triple Crown. I just want to see one. It hasn't happened for a long time.
It's really...
might be this one.
It may be.
Were you born? He's saying it for the last time.
I was born.
I actually think I might have seen vision of it.
I was, but I don't remember.
That horse, well, of those first three horses, the winner was the first horse off the bit. It was three wide being scrubbed along, and he just kept making ground, got into a war with the second horse about, I don't know, 200 metres out, and looked like the second horse might come back and beat him. But he found a bit more. He's pretty classy. I reckon he's a live chance because he will run the trips. You know, he'll run them right out. Some of these horses are, you know, they're just scratching to make the ground when they win that derby. But he looks like a genuine one.
Yeah, he looks all right.
Okay.
Doesn't turn me on that racing, really.
Well, the Triple Crown's quite fascinating,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is fascinating. But, I mean, the American dirt racing...
If you had a live chance going into the Belmont, it's exciting.
Yeah, maybe.
I was there 3 years ago when Oliver another won the Derby, and then he won the Preakness and was in like favourite for the Belmont, and all the hoo-ha about the Triple Crown. It was in New York for the time, and he was scratched on the morning of the race, and it was about page 14 back inside baseball. Yeah. They don't really care about it. We make probably more of a deal about it here.
Well, because racing in Australia is mainstream sport, and racing in most other countries is niche sport. So I guess that's where it lies. But I just, you know, you say dirt racing, the biggest race in the world's run on dirt.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, they go to Baltimore. Baltimore's the next leg with the Preakness at Pimlico. And then, of course, hopefully we'll be alive for a Triple Crown runner in the Belmont Stakes there in New York City. Now, locally, let's get into these Group 1s. The Robert Sangster Stakes at Morphettville brought together a very good lineup of mares. The favourite was Vane Queen. She started the race at $4.
Set, racing, and let's have a look at Void Lightning out wide, got out fast. Tycoon Tara was away quickly, showing good speed as well in the early stages was Greg as it was going up now to be second behind Tycoon Tara. I Love It next on the inside from Magnificio, then Miracles of Life around its outside was Sabatini. It's on the improve early. Next then Runway Star on the inside of a Void Lightning, fine approach in that group with Natural Disaster and Emma Whale. Vane Queen's back fourth last, back with it was Miss Steel, Politas and Texton Hurley. They've got 600 metres left to travel. Tycoon Tara led the way. Gregors was second the outside. Sabatini was third. Around Magnificio and back on the fence. I Love It. Then Miracles of Life. Avoid Lightning was next. Then Runway Star. Natural Disaster Wavale. Miss Steel. Fine approach. Vane Queen still well back with Politeness. Texton Hurley last. Gregors moved up now. Gregors moved up on the outside of Tycoon Tara. I Love It coming at the pen. Little Miracles of Life deeper out. It's on the inside. Tycoon Tara going with it on the outside. Gregors, Miracles of Life late in front. Gregors near the line. Miracles of Life dive. Got up. The point-sized mare got up to score. What a cracker result.
Well, it's a group. You've only got to look through the history books. You know, it takes a Group 1 horse to win this race. And Gregors wasn't stopping. You know, even Craig Williams said, I thought I was going to hold you at the 50. But look, she's a class filly or class mare. I had the momentum. I was very confident approaching 100, and she certainly didn't let me down.
Miracles of Life, her second Group 1 win. She won a Blue Diamond Stakes as a 2-year-old when she was trained in Adelaide by Dan Clarkin. She's now trained by Peter and Paul Snowden. And Peter Snowden's with us on Racing Retro this morning. Thanks for coming in, Pete.
My pleasure, Matt. Thank you.
That's not easy to do, to win a 2-year-old Group 1 and then come back and win another Group 1 as a 4-year-old mare. Yeah. How have you kept her going?
Oh, look, it's not easy to do, you're right. And It was no secret when John Moynihan bought her, I said to him, like, it's, you know, how good a 2-year-old she was, and it's very rarely, she's only tiny, and when he bought her, he said that she's only small, but he'd like to give her one more try, being a new identity into Australian racing. He thought it'd be a nice way, a quick way of getting the colours, Barbara's colours out and out there in the open so people could see them, and he said, just give it a try, and I said, I'll see how she goes, because Dan Clarkin certainly done a great job with her, and to try and get a mare to peak a 2-year-old, a good 2-year-old and a small 2-year-old, to get him to replicate that again 12, 14, 18 months later, it's pretty hard to do, but the interest in her was always there. She was a very good track worker, just a brilliant filly to work with, very natural, ate well, good attitude, wasn't sour or cranky, the passion was there to work. And once I started to work, it was a no-brainer for me. I knew she could come back, but how good she would be and how she could compete against the better horses was always going to be a problem, but the proof's been in the pudding with everyone she's had.
What did you, obviously when you started to work, you knew you had something to work with, but what did you think when she first walked through you at the stable gates?
job ahead of me. Honestly, she was small, very strong, but I thought, well, she was such a good two-year-old, and I had one in the Diamond Guelph, and she won with authority. Like, she was just very dominant, and when a horse is that good at that age and so small, you think they've done their job. Very seldom, if ever, they do come back. But she's racing as good as probably as ever she has.
I think better, because, you know, she's beating top quality mares here. Yeah. And she's small, but she's strong. But that attitude, what's that worth?
That's something probably Huey, the first time he rode at work, he said, I've never felt a horse like this. I said, Huey, come on. Like, she's 4 foot high. You know, you've ridden some great horse. He said, I'm telling you, this her attitude, the way she goes about her work, everything she does is just with passion. And he said, I'll ride her forever. You know, and when I told him she was in there, he said, well, don't book anyone. He said, I know it's a big day at Hawkesbury, but I really want to stay with her.
Wow.
So he was... He's Nostradamus today, isn't he?
I just looked at her going over the line there. She tries and tries, and she lays her ears flat back on her head, and she's giving it all.
Yeah, that's priceless. You can't train that into them. It's just a horse, as you've just seen in America there. Those sort of horses want to win, and they'll just keep getting up and finding something no matter what.
Pete, what's next on the agenda for her? Is that it? Is it do you finish on a high now once you've got that Group 1? Because there doesn't seem to be too many other options for her being a sprinting type.
Exactly. Well, I spoke to John for a short time yesterday after the race, and it was 2 a.m. when I was giving him a replay on the phone because he couldn't see the call, and he kept nodding off. When I started to scream about the furlong, he was saying, Peter, is everything right there? Getting a bit close, John, but you won. But you're right. But to go home and to finish on a note back in the hometown is priceless.
Right. Let's have another look at the race. Ron, what did you think of the favourite just while we're on the Sangster Stakes, Bane Queen?
Well, she lost the speed of the race. Simple as that. She drew a bit awkward, and they wanted to ride her a bit quiet. But for a Group 1 1,200-metre race, they did not go hard at all in this race, and the on-pace horses had an advantage. And, you know, Vane Queen and out the back here, it certainly couldn't run the sectionals to finish this race off. It was just an impossibility. Look, I thought Gregor's was strong, and this little I Love It was fantastic. She's only had 10th. This is only her 10th start, and she resumed at Hobart, and then she went to Randwick, and now she's at Morpheus. That's not easy to do, so the Salonitris have done a really good job with her as well. But how can you take anything away from the winner? That's just the desire that got her home there. She wanted to win.
Big effort, isn't it? Little filly with a big heart.
Oh, it's my favourite South Australian race, I think, race.
Me too.
Because it gathers together a worthy Group 1 field of mares every year. And because it's for mares, and because there aren't enormous opportunities for mares only around the country, there are a few lovely races, and this is another one, it does gather a quality field, and I think that, you know, for her to win just franks how well she's going. It's okay to win $1 million 2-year-old race. You're racing against your own age and sex. It's a very different thing to come in and race against mares who are not only physically bigger than you but may have more experience than you. I think it's the biggest effort of her career.
Ooh. Of the Beaten Brigade, Vane Queen will stick around in Adelaide for the Goodwood. She'll take on the boys. Spoke with John Sadler, trainer. He's just basically from that draw. She just got into an awful spot after the start. Politeness, Robert Smurden's looking at heading to Brisbane for the Tats Tiara. He said she just at the 1,200 metres just loses a spot early on and then keeps attacking the line quite strongly. So look for her maybe to go to the Dane Rip and then on to the Tats Tiara.
Now, Pete, I saw Paul was over there looking after Miracles of Life in South Australia. You went to Hawkesbury for the standalone Saturday. How does that affect you? You had a number of runners engaged in that meeting, you know, Hot Snitzel and Dothraki and Great Esteem. How does that affect things for you?
I was disappointed, Matt, no doubt, but if you're there on the day, there's a no-brainer call, and unfortunately for Brian, it's their once a year meeting. It's everything goes into that one basket, and I felt shattered for them as well, because it's important, but we can always find another race. It's probably going to disrupt a few preparations, but there's always a way around it, but it's just very unfortunate for the club yesterday.
Pete, yesterday marks basically a year anniversary since you went out on your own. Hawkesbury was the final day. 4 Group 1s and plenty of success. How have you rated the past 12 months?
Oh, it's been amazing. Before it all started, I sat down with Paul and I said, look, this is going to be a hard grind. Where we used to be a fair bit of success, it's going to be all different now. But the support we have is fantastic at the start. And also, the two-thirds of our horses are young horses. Most of our stable is just all two-year-olds. So we've got a lot to work with. We're a young stable, a lot of young horses, so a lot of development's got to happen. But to win 4 Group 1s their first year, that's what I'm blown away by. And he as well. But it's only a start. It's only up to us to build on that. hopefully these younger horses can grow into a strong team. We've got a good quality horse going to all the carnivals.
And moving from Warwick Farm to Randwick, you're comfortable with that now?
Yeah, the facilities there are fantastic. It rains too much for me though, but it's just been relentless. Oh my goodness, it just blows in and just drops 4 inches and goes again, and no one else gets anything. But the tracks are amazing. It's a beautiful big dirt track to work on. The facilities are good. The horses do really well there, and you've got an option there to go to the beach as well, so a bit of variety and add to your work, which is always good.
All right, thanks Pete. Well done on yesterday, and well done on the 12 months training with Paul. Great to see your achievements.
Oh, thanks very much, appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for coming in. All right, so let's go to the second of the Group 1s in South Australia yesterday. It was the running of the Australasian Oaks over 2,000 metres for the fillies. Fontaine Ruby started the favourite for this one. She was 380.
Then Winetail's Delicacy. Rettersum was next. Behind it then was Sea Spray with Hipster Girl. On the inside, Kansas Sunflower. Schwarzmeyer second last. And Ungrateful Ellen was last. Fenway's had a great run in front for Shin. Led the way from Photocracy, the only South Aussie in the race. It's second the outside. Bahamas third. Lady Sharapova was next. Kathy's Mark looking to work into the clear. Fontaine Ruby still well back with Delicacy. Winetail's coming to the outside running on, but Fenway led. At the 300 metre mark, Fenway from Photocracy, Bahamas, then Jurisound. Here's Delicacy running on. It's Fenway in front. Delicacy, the star WA filly down the outside. Then Bahamas. Delicacy moves up, takes the lead. Oh, what a good filly she is. Delicacy beats Fenway. Bahamas third.
After the Derby in Perth, we took the shoes off her, put her in the paddock, and Bob was probably thinking that she'd had a long enough campaign, and then she'd pulled up that good. We only give her a few days off and then brought her back into work. That was always our plan. We were going to ride her to her strength, and the strength was her sprint.
Yeah.
It was a great white ride early to get one off and have still half a dozen behind him and not be able to let her go till he actually straightened. It was really good.
Delicacy, she's won a stack of feature races over there in WA, the Oaks, the Derby, the 1000 Guineas. She's now won 9 out of 13 overall, a very, very good filly. So Delicacy taking the Australasian Oaks yesterday, and I think they're going to back her up next week in another Group 1. They're going to target the Derby now.
She's as tough as teak. If she wins the Derby, is she the horse of the year?
Well, that'd be 4 Group 1s. She'd have legitimate claims.
No, I think I know the horse of the year,
Well,
you've got the inside of Marlon.
No, I make it up myself.
Oh, okay. Who have you got in front?
Oh, we'll get on to that.
He has a formula. It's a long story.
Don't ask. But look, what a sensational win. You have to admire that performance. The way she knuckled down and you look at the schedule she's had is enough in itself. And even I heard interviews with Bob Peters earlier in the week, and he wasn't really oozing confidence, saying, well, you know, this is a bit of an afterthought, this race. But look at the way she savages the line here. Well done, Fenway. That was off a setback, 5 weeks between runs. I know she got control of the race up front and had her chance, but just to get her up to peak her again, it's a great job by the Hopes. Bahamas was good. That's her first preparation. Did you see Ungrateful Ellen there? I don't know how far she's going to win this next Oaks by. She'll win it.
Okay. And by the way, the winning jockey there, Peter Hall, first Group 1 for him. And he only picked up the ride late. I think Willie Pike dislocated his shoulder at the barrier trials during the week.
Yeah, unfortunate for Willie Pike. And I know there's one member of the Sydney press room who was a little bit disappointed. He backed Willie Pike to be the winningest jockey in Australia this year. I don't think that's going to happen with a dislocated shoulder.
Just before we move on from that, and I've got to couch this very carefully because I don't want to seem critical. The filly is an excellent filly, really good filly. It's a lot of racing. It's a lot of racing at those distances and a lot of training and a lot of track work for a filly her age. I'm not second guessing what's being done with her, but if she was a European filly, they'd be looking a long way down the track to some very high quality races. And perhaps her workload would be a little lighter at this stage. That's all I'm saying.
But look at her record. She keeps winning. Why would it be any lighter?
We had this discussion.
The old man's in form, you know.
I can appreciate what you're saying. I'm not saying you're wrong. But it's not the attitude that develops good older stayers. That's all I'm saying. All
right. Well, does she have to be a good older stayer?
No, she doesn't.
She's very valuable.
And Bob can run her in whatever he wants to run her in. It's his filly to do what he likes with, as long as she's cared for, and she certainly is. She's well cared for.
She's favourite for the Derby. She's $4.40. authoritarian.
Second favourite, so she should be.
The Friedman horse.
I'm not trying to talk her out of the field. That's ridiculous.
I'm so glad we brought that market up.
You're trying to get rid of the favourite. That's what you're trying to do.
Now, between races at Morphettville yesterday, a very good galloper, a Group 1 winner, had an exhibition gallop, Hucklebuck. He won the Emirates Stakes at his last start at Flemington going back to November. He won a barrier troll a few weeks ago, Brent, and it looks like he's coming along really well. I guess the Stradbroke might be a race for him.
I think the Goodwood's where he's headed first up, and looking at some of the information that was coming out of Morphettville yesterday, apparently runs his last section in 10.53. I'm not quite sure how accurate that is. He looked like he was under a hole there. He didn't go any quicker.
They went half pace until about they came around the corner, and then they quickened up. He went hard for about his last 150 metres.
It
didn't even go hard. He just let him off the beat.
But he's run that time, he's obviously in good order, and you'd imagine he's going to be hard to beat in the Group 1 Goodwood over the 1,200 metres at Adelaide.
Okay, and then if he does go to Brisbane, he's a $13 chance in the Stradbroke handicap at the moment with TAB. We'll take a break on Retro, and we'll come back with more from Adelaide.
Coming up, we stick around in the City of Churches where the fillies and mares chase valuable black type in the Queen of the South.
Harvey Norman Super Bargain Buys. Get the HP Stream laptop for just $99 when you purchase selected HP computers. That's two great HP computers from as little as $783. Get the Beats by Dr. Dre Your Beats headphones for just $39 with selected Beats purchases. That's two pairs of Beats like these from just $287. Get a Fitbit Charge for just $49 when you purchase a Fitbit Surge. That's two Fitbit products for just $395. More Super Bargain Buys now at Harvey Norman. Go!
Cruise control, touch screen display, all for just, wait for it, $15,990. I know.
Volkswagen Polo from $15,990.
You like the blue?
You'll want to tell everyone.
Das Auto.
You could change the world, celebrate triumphs, and become legends. Are you ready? Empire Four Kingdoms, now in the App Store and at goodgame.com.au.
Daffield's in front. They've got 900 metres left to travel. The heavily backed favourite, Mariam, was second. Clear Direction, third. Cavaloche, fourth. Next was Bipo No Bungus. And Fitriona, the inside. Then Let's Make a Deal. Lady Kumquat held hostage back on the fence. Next, Atlantis Dream from Rebel. Then Ava's Delight and the Grey Girl in flight. 600 metres left to travel. Daffield still led. Mariam was second. Third back on the inside was Clear Direction. Then Cavaloche. Bipo No Bungus next from Let's Make a Deal. And Fitriona, Lady Kumquat held hostage. Atlantis Dream, Rebel, Girl in Flight still back at the tail with Ava's Delight. Jaffiel's led turning from Marianne. Cavaloche deeper, then Clear Direction. Let's Make a Deal. Atlantis Dream coming down the outside. Jaffiel's still led. Marianne clawing away at it. Deeper out. Let's Make a Deal with Atlantis Dream. It's Let's Make a Deal and Atlantis Dream. Clear Direction still there. Boxing on was Marianne, but out wide. Out wide. It's Atlantis Dream winning from Let's Make a Deal.
Had a bit of an unfortunate start early days with injury and had a wind operation and all those sorts of things, but
another one of John Foote's good boys for 10,000 at the New Zealand Star. So great result for everyone involved.
Atlanta Stream, that was her third run back from a spell. She'd run second to the promising Silver Ball at Flemington at a previous run. So as we heard there from Darren, they've had a few problems with her early on.
Yeah.
But that's Darren and his team have done a good job with her to get her winning a stakes race.
Yes, she's only had the 14 runs after yesterday. She's won six of them and placed on five other occasions. You know, she's very, very rarely missed a check. And she's 6 years old. You know, she's very, very lightly raced, and it was a great effort. I don't think they went along overly quickly in that, so it was a little bit of a sprint home. Jeff Fields was able to keep batting right till the very end there. So it just said that she produced a great turn of foot there. And the one that really made me scratch my head, let's make a deal. Now, I know she's run third in a Herbert Powell last preparation, but she's never won beyond 1,600 metres. You start to wonder whether she's a genuine stayer or whether she's just a swoop home miler. You know, she certainly hit the line very well here, and it augurs well for her future campaign. But, well, you know, the winners sat back in what wasn't an overly quickly run race and rounded them up. I mean, very few excuses for anything else.
Yeah, look, it was a nice ride. He blended into the race beautifully, three deep with cover there, and had momentum all the way, Nick Hall on the win. I don't know about going slowly. You look at the sectional time there, they've come home 37.5.
Yeah, well, no, but it just didn't look that like they went that quick. But anyway,
I don't know if
I haven't seen the stats.
Yeah, look. Was a good solid win. I thought the second horse was brilliant first up. Let's make a deal. I think it's good training performance to get that big black type, bit of black type there for her first up from Nigel Blackiston. Can't really say much about the others. Mary Ann seemed to have her chance again. Bit of a bunch finish. I'm not sold on the form.
I had a chat with Nigel Blackiston last night after the race, and he's was thrilled with the performance from her. Let's make a deal first up at the 1600 metres. She'll stay in Adelaide for a listed mares race over 2000 metres in 2 weeks' time, and then if her form warrants, she could potentially go to Brisbane for the Brisbane Cup over a mile and a half, where her form has been quite strong through the Zipping Classic and
some races
like that.
Never won beyond 1600.
Well, it's a pretty big level that she's been competing at.
Oh,
it's hard to win when you're running the Group 1 mile and a half.
Well, Herbert Power's not a Group 1.
Yeah, well, I mean, but she's been in.
But by the same, I take your point. Yeah. I take your point.
All right, next up is the sprint, the DC Mackay Stakes. Thermal Current was the favourite for this one. 1,100 metres the journey. Thermal Current started at 370.
Back, so is Yesterday's Songs. It's back with Vain Attraction. So it's Minaj working across the lead. Streetcar Isabel second. Thermal Current was third. There are a couple in front, that trio, as they run up to the turn from Cara Caddis, which is on the inside there of Vatican and nearest the pin. Spirit's Dance was next. Then Daytona Grey. Stillwell back agent. Yesterday's Songs on the inside. He's got nowhere to go at the moment. And back with him, Vain Attraction. Streetcar Isabel cruised up to join Minaj turning for home. Thermal Current coming out to have a crack at the pair of them. Yesterday's Songs, Oliver saved a heap of ground near the inside on it. Minaj still led. Thermal Current going to it. Yesterday's Songs driving up on the inside late. Thermal Current took the lead for Minaj though. Thermal Current in front near the line, and Thermal Current beats Yesterday's Songs. Third Minaj.
You know, Damien Oliver's horse looked like a nice up and comer, and the rest were pretty even. So he deserved the win. He's been working really hard and just being able to find one that's won better than him all the time. But Peter turned him out beautifully today, and he did the job.
Thermal Current second up after a spell and winning that Group 3 there. The first two home in that race, Ron, are exempt from the ballot in the Goodwood, not the Goodwood handicap anymore, it's set weights and penalties. So the second horse, Yesterday's Songs, very, very promising galloper. He's only had seven runs for Mike Moroney. He'd be heading to the Goodwood now.
Yeah, look, it's good, encouraging performance first up. The winner, well, I've been backing him till I'm blue in the face. He hasn't won in 3 years or something coming into that race, so he's won the lottery there. Good ride by Dwayne. Minaj is what you see is what you get. She's just a running sort of a mare and gives herself every opportunity. I'm not getting too carried away as far as the Goodwood's concerned, but who knows?
Well, he's in the probably the best form of his career, well, certainly in the last few years, and well placed here. This is a perfect sort of race when you've got the lovely run in running. Dwayne just sat him behind the speed there and peeled him out at the right time. It just all worked for him yesterday. Just a good handy sprinter in good form, placed well.
I put it to Peter Moody about Thermal Current backing up into the Goodwood, and he said, look, we're just going to celebrate this victory at this point. He hadn't really thought too far beyond that race there yesterday, but considering that the horse is exempt from the ballot, it will certainly be on the agenda. And for Yesterday's Songs, Mike Moroney said the horse is still not quite the seasoned product. He said he'll go towards the Goodwood, not quite really gets in too well at the weights, considering it's only set weights and penalties, but he said he'd missed the run at Flemington last week, so it was a bit of a rush getting him to Adelaide, but he'll head towards the Goodwood and Damien Oliver will stick.
Just and on that horse, I know he's not one of your favourites, Thermal Current. He's won three.
No, he's been a good money spin.
He's won three from 19. He's been placed on eight other occasions. He rarely misses a check.
No, and before people start tweeting in and whatever, I am exaggerating when I said he hasn't won in 3 years. That was an over.
Well, it was only about two, I think.
Yeah, it might have been just a year and a half or something.
Anyway, I'll tell you how many he's had. One, two, three.
I will be here all day.
Three or four preparations back.
Okay, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's only four, so it can't be 3 years.
Here's another stakes race coming up. Let's go to the two-year-olds. It was the Queen Adelaide Stakes over 1,050 metres. Thurlow was pretty solid favourite here, 220.
Thurlow, and they are Typhoon Witness and the first starter, Green Hornet. Misty Waters in front, led the way from on the outside, Strike 'em second, Counterpulse third, getting a good run, getting right up on its inside, then Wicked Promise from Beau Rivage. Thurlow starting to come into it now, hooked right to the outside by Williams, then Spirited Match, well back Green Hornet, and back with it, Typhoon Witness. Misty Waters in front, Strike 'em going to it, Counterpulse joins in, so does the favourite Thurlow. Throw there across the track now, Strike 'em reached the lead. Strike 'em got the front from Misty Waters. Thurlow bursting through Typhoon Witness late, but Strike 'em's going to win. Strike 'em first, Thurlow second.
For sure, she had excuses her first time out of the race as she put up a little bit chinsaw, but her work suggests she'd run well in this race today and began really well, landed on top of speed, had a good run and give a good kick through the line.
Strike 'em. It was a good day for the Freedman boys there. Her only previous start, she'd started $1.75 favourite and ran fourth at Seymour in December, Richard, but I believe she was found to be a bit shinten sore. She certainly improved a lot since then.
Oh, look, to go out that price first start, she must have shown plenty, and she would have. And for Lee, knowing him reasonably well, to have taken her over first up crack at a stakes race, must have a pretty big opinion of this filly. And she did a few things wrong. She was a bit floaty. She pricked her ears at times and was looking around a little bit and still hung on and won there. Okay, not the strongest race that, you know, you could ever find. But now she's a stakes winner. In fact, she's a group winner. And she's a very, very valuable filly by Striker.
Yeah, look, I don't know whether he's got a big opinion of her or not. All I know is it's been a very astute piece of placement. He's found the right race at the right time and got the desired result for the connections. I think they'd be thrilled with this performance. Whether she's spring class, I don't know. Thurlow had too much to do in a 1,000-metre race, and she finished off strongly there. But look, I'm saying all honest with the winner myself. First up, set outside the lead, too good.
Okay. Gee, they're having a good run-up. They had a winner at Flemington yesterday.
Two winners at Flemington yesterday. Yeah, just watching the tweets coming through there, $12,000 yearling buy.
Okay.
So, you know, they're always the nice ones.
They've got a fast return on their investment there. Might be more to come. All right, time for a short break on Racing Retro. As we take a break, more two-year-olds coming up here. The Oaklands Plate was over 1,600 metres. It was earlier in the day. The favourite for this one was Basil Brewing at $2.40.
Commiserate going past at Stablemate now. Last of all, Manchester on the turn, and Battle Brewing's opened up a bit of a break here. He's moved a couple in front. Maxie's Bluegill about to give chase to it. Commiserate wants to work into the clear. It might have something to offer. And then Dinner Alive. They're in the straight. Battle Brewing still with a break at the moment. Over Maxie's Bluegill, Commiserate, Dinner Alive, then Patriot Act. It's Battle Brewing up against the inside, still clear. Maxie's Bluegill and Dinner Alive are starting to eat into its lead now, though. Battle Brewing in front, coming out of Dead or Alive, Commiserate late in the centre, Commiserate, Dead or Alive takes the lead, and Dead or Alive gets up the win from either the Stablemate Commiserate or Battle Brewing. He hit the wall the last 100 metres.
Yeah, he's a big raw fella, wanted every bit of the mile, even though he's jumping from 1200, but you know, the more I got at him, the more he kept coming. He's a horse that's going to get over distance in time for sure.
Next, we head off to Toowoomba for their two biggest races, including the time-honoured sprint, the Wheatwood Handicap.
They told me to get a real job. It doesn't get more real than this.
In
imported thoroughbreds won nearly every major staying race in Australia last year. Now it's your turn for a piece of the action. Import Racing are offering shares in an athletic colt by Gun New Zealand sire Darcy Brummer to be trained by Group 1 winning trainer Tim Martin. This speedy colt was purchased from the highly successful New Zealand Ready to Run sale and breezed up extremely fast. Don't sit back and continue to watch the import steal all the success. Join Import Racing and be a part of the winning formula. Import Racing, real horsepower.
Need a hand with the heavy lifting?
Don't miss out on this durable Westmix 100 litre powder coated steel wheelbarrow, just $79. Yes, just $79.
When they're gone, they're gone. So hurry into Masters, Australia's fastest growing hardware store.
Loving you isn't the right thing to do.
They told me to get a real job. It doesn't get more real than this.
You could change the world, celebrate triumphs, and become legends. Are you ready? Empire Four Kingdoms, now on the App Store and at goodgame.com.au.
Now for the latest offer from the Tab. This NBA playoffs, back either team at the line and you will get $1.95 lines on all matches. That's right, $1.95 lines for every NBA playoff match.
And Bulk here, the leader by a length, the Porter Shay sitting on its tail. High Sun's a length away. Wish Come True fourth, right on the back of Porter Shay. Another 2.5 to mark out. Still three deep around Hofgarten in the middle. Pop and Scotch is back on the fence. A couple to Supercoach, followed by Ongoing Venture. Then back to Abilene, Secret Garden, Fretton and Kudator. Around the next corner at the 800 metres mark, and Bulk here, a half to Porter Shay. Wish Come True sitting up there, third on the outside. High Sun on the fence. They're followed by Mark Out, now starting to go forward. Hofgarten's in the middle. Pop and Scotch on the fence from back to Abilene. Supercoach, Secret Garden, Ongoing Venture, Fretton and Kudator. They greet the corner, 4.50 to go. And Volkia joined by Porter Shay on the outside. Wish Come True's two lengths away. And then Hofgarten followed by High Sun. But Porter Shay's dashed to the front on the turn into the straight. And Porter Shay raced away from Volkia. Wish Come True third, followed by Hofgarten, Super Coach, but Porter Shay opened up inside the 200. Two to Volkia. Wish Come True running on. Hofgarten down the outside, but it's Porter Shay in front, and Porter Shay will win the cup. Porter Shay from Volkia and Hofgarten from Wish Come True.
Didn't he just do him proud? And with Luke and John Henderson, the co-owners in the horse, he's really exciting to think. Toowoomba, where to? Mooney Valley and Cox Plate Day.
Cox Plate Day.
Big plans there for Porter Shay. Look, Richard, he'd run a very good fifth in the Doncaster at his previous start and won the Neville Selwood at Rose Hill at his start prior to that. So he was certainly the class runner in the Toowoomba Cup.
There's no doubt about that. I thought he was a certainty in the race because he only had to produce an effort similar to what he had been producing and it'd be too good for those horses. And he was. Ridden like the best horse in the race, performed like the best horse in the race, so... You know, it was a very good place to take him, and he's picked up, you know, the lion's share of $100,000 in prize money. So $64,000, I think he got for first there. Interesting, someone said to me, Gay said, run him in the Cox Plate. She actually said Cox Plate Day. Now, that could mean a lot of things.
There's not many too many other 2,000-metre races on Cox Plate Day.
Well, maybe he hasn't run in a 2,000-metre race, but, you know, I don't know that he's a Cox Plate horse, but he's a very nice horse, and if I own him, I'll be very happy.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, he's progressing in the right direction. He's a... What else we got left for the Cox Plate? All these horses going to stud this season, I tell you. Look, as you said, he was the best horse in the race. He was ridden like a good thing, and he won like a good thing. He had a bit of work to do, and he did it, and he got the job done. Broke the course record.
Actually, they were breaking course records all day on a soft six track.
Is that the new track?
Look, it's wonderful to see Toowoomba racing on turf.
Yeah, and good on to Gay Waterhouse supporting a meeting like this. You know, she got off her backside, she went up there, and I think the locals really enjoyed
she was really well
her
received.
Enthusiasm. Yeah.
And there's the Doomben Cup coming up in a few weeks' time. Porter Shay, $5 favourite. favourite now, Lee Baz, Gypsy Diamond and Malice.
Well, that's next Saturday at Doomben. So that's the reason why he was at Toowoomba yesterday, because he missed a run in the Hollandale Stakes at the Gold Coast, needed to get another run into the horse. So that was virtually a prep run. Did a good job to pick up such prize money, but a different kettle of fish now, taking on the Lee Baz and the like at Weight for Age. Gypsy Diamond, still a little bit of a query on whether she runs. She was beaten in the Wagga Cup on Friday, but speaking with Peter Snowden off-air this morning, he was suggesting that she's still a chance of heading up to Brisbane. He just wants to monitor in the next couple of days.
Gay took another nice horse up there, Sky Limit, which is the half-brother to Overreach. Yeah. And he ran very nicely in the Guineas, which I don't think we're showing here, behind Jumbo Prince. But jumping from 1,200 to 1,600 metres, having taken it up there, they must have a good opinion of this horse, and he did race like a pretty good
horse.
And
the winner, Jumbo Prince, it'll back up in the rough habit and head towards the Derby. So he was heavily back there yesterday. And looks to be a nice talent.
All right, here's a famous race, a famous sprint there in Toowoomba. It's the Wootwood Handicap, and the favourite this year was Mount Nebo at $4.
Next, believe by Choice Bro, Excellentes and Felino. 700 metres left to go. Mr. Fabulous, the leader. Three parts to Whiskey All Round. They're followed by The Storm and getting a good run. Third on the inside there of Pillar of Creation. La Cap fifth, but trapped out wide. Then Remagen Bridge. Mount Nebo is near the inside. Tukio between runners. They're followed then by Kempelli, Excellentes, Felino and Choice Bro on the inside as last. They're turning inside the 400 and The Storm on the fence. Mr. Fabulous, Whiskey All Round, La Cap, Remagen Bridge coming deep as they come around the corner, and Mount Nebo looking for a run. Mr. Fabulous went to the front of the 200 from The Stormman. Mount Nebo, Pillar of Creation and Whiskey All Round on the outside, but Mr. Fabulous is the leader with 100 metres left to go, and Mr. Fabulous is going to win the week, but Mr. Fabulous from Pillar of Creation and Choice Bro.
Well, Don, congratulations, you've won the week. Was that your first?
Yeah, it is my first, but I couldn't have been with a better horse because I love him.
He's one of your favourites, isn't he? He's always been there.
Yeah, he is. He's my favourite. He's so honest, and I said to Jeff, ping him out if he can lead, let him lead. And he'll take it. He's had one run on the track and won. And that's his second run. He's had two runs, two wins.
Well done. It was actually a very mixed day for trainer Donald Baker. He lost his handy two-year-old Hello Hornsby earlier in the day, and then later comes out and wins the Wheatwood. Mr. Fabulous, Richard, look, hadn't won for a little while, but he had run a stack of placings. He's nearly always second or third in his races.
Well, that was his 61st start yesterday. Interestingly, only second on the Toowoomba track for a perfect record there. He's had two starts for two wins there. But I think John Howard was Prime Minister when he last won. I mean, he's been running great races. He's been picking up checks, but he hasn't been able to win for a long, long time. So, Jeff Lloyd, that's the other point I want to make out of the race.
Incredible.
It's just incredible. His age, after having that horrible fall, where I thought, oh, well, this will end Jeff's career here. He can't afford to have a fall like that. Gets up, walks away. Here he is, riding stakes winners again. He's a freak. And rode beautifully on the day.
He did too. A Wheatwood's always a very, very interesting race. This wasn't one of the stronger ones. Obviously, it was decimated by scratchings with the anticipated wet track. Real horses for courses, isn't it? 1, 2, 3, all trained at the track, and that was the story of the race. But I have seen stronger Wheatwoods than this.
Well, Mount Nebo was favourite. I think plenty of punters were expecting the track to be probably wetter than what it was, and as it continued to dry out, he's really effective on rain affected ground. And Kempelli was also well supported. That's back in the field in the bright sort of lime green with the winkers on. Just never really hit the ground running. Wasn't able to muster enough speed in the early stages, and those horses up on the speed just dominated.
Just I must say, a great decision, I think, to get rid of that cushion track. That's good racing.
I think the trainers wanted proper racing.
Yep,
it looked like a pretty successful day, and as I say, that I was surprised they were on leading up to that with all of the rain that they had. They ended up having a beautiful day.
I don't think any other track in Queensland would have raced.
Very, very good. Well done, Toowoomba. And that carnival's really about to get into full swing with the first of the Brisbane Group 1s for the Winter Carnival coming up next weekend. Now, there was one feature race at Caulfield yesterday, one listed race. It was the Thoroughbred Club Cup over 1,200 metres. Pretty open market. Black Vanquish was the favourite at $4.40.
beaten for speed a length away. Up the side, Cool Schnitzel leads by about a neck to Northern Model at the 600. Black Vanquish for the beautiful trail. Two lengths in front then from Badajoz. Strindberg, 50 inside. Stalwart is still between horses. A length to Bob of the Head. A length to Pearl Star. Heavenly Hand on the rail. And Payroll last. Cool Schnitzel coming around the home turn at the 400. Black Vanquish peels out three wide. Northern Model in the centre. And then Badajoz, Stalwart and Strindberg. And Payroll, the baldy face filly, is right down the outside now. Coming to the 200. And Black Vanquish raced up. Cool Schnitzel beaten off on the inside. Northern Model trying to go. Badajoz running onto the heels of the leader. Here's Payroll flashing home. Black Vanquish in front. Payroll starting to storm late. Black Vanquish hanging on. Cody gets her in. Black Vanquish a neck. Payroll is second and a neck away third. Pearl Star.
Yeah, we'll just go home and see how things are. We might even take him to Queensland for the size produce. No, I've got a photo at home when we had a look at him in the paddock as a weanling, yearling. I've got photos of him all the way through. We've always loved him.
He looks like a nice colt by Lonro, Black Vanquish. He's won two out of three now, and yes, as Greg said in his call there, that was Caitlin Mallion's first black type win. Good to see her back riding winners too. She's another one that had a bit of a fall in February, so she's made a return to the track very recently. Not only did she win that race, but she came out and won the next race on the program, and a lot of these apprentices are going to get some great opportunities over the next few months.
She drew a beautiful gate and gave him a lovely ride. Just wherever she needed to be, she was. And he had the cushy run. He's out of that mare Ponton Flyer.
I think she's a real Tommy Hughes family.
Yeah, she raced in the same colours. Yeah. And I think Thomas trained Ponton Flyer as well. Yeah. So, a real family affair there. Look, I can't sort of weigh up how strong these back-end two-year-olds are, but you can get a couple of them to come through there. And I thought the first three over the line, I thought were all very good performances there and can go on and do something.
Yeah, I think it's a strong race. I really do. This is a nice colt. I'm not underestimating him. If he goes to Queensland, he bears respect for sure. And I think this horse out wide here, Payroll, that filly's going to Queensland as well. Her effort was excellent from the back here. Good race, I think. Good race. I think the fourth horse there from the Godolphin team was very all at sea there, Badajoz, and could be an improver next time. He just seemed to get a little lost.
I think it's a Spanish word, and it's Badajoz.
Oh, it's a soft J, is it?
Badajoz.
Well, how are we supposed to know that?
Well, I know they're getting fairly inventive.
I bet you next time you don't call him Badajoz.
It's Badajoz.
It's Badajoz.
Okay. Well, it's noted. And you know what we've got Badajoz. This week in Victoria?
What?
Bull. Warrnambool.
Yeah, that's right.
That famous carnival. Gee, they love it down there, don't they? Three very, very big days coming up.
No Chardonnay down there, Ronnie.
Really starts.
I got invited this year.
And, late finishes.
I didn't take it up.
Okay. We'll take a break. We might get there next year. We'll come back with more in just a moment.
Still to come, a veteran jockey shows he's still the boss, and we turn our focus to the UK for the 2,000 guineas.
You know what? You can choose to play the part. Or you can break the mold.
The latest offer from the Tab. This NBA playoffs back either team at the line and you will get $1.95 lines on all matches. That's right, $1.95 lines for every NBA playoff match.
From both sides of the ditch has made a lasting impact. Brothers in Arms features some of the biggest hits from Australia and New Zealand. 38 tracks on a special double album. This is the music of two great nations. Brothers in Arms. Check it out now.
You can
heart or break the mold.
There are a few jockeys in better form right now than Glenn Boss, and the Doncaster winning hoop ventured to Wagga Wagga on Friday with a live chance in the Gold Cup. Boss settled landlocked outside the leader from his wide gate, and the Go Cleary train gelding defied all comers in the straight for a gritty triumph.
Landlocked comes after it, and our Voodoo Prince on the inside. Gypsy Diamond landlocked, our Voodoo Prince. Ring the Bell is coming on strongly, in behind them fast. It's landlocked on the outside. Gypsy Diamond and Landlocked, our Voodoo Prince. Landlocked goes to the lead in the cup. It's another one for Glenn Boss. Landlocked won the Gold Cup. Landlocked got home for Bossy.
Yeah, it's my second ride in this cup, and I've won it twice. So, I don't make no bones about it, and I don't hide it. I love country racing. That's why I come in and support this, because I'm a country bloke, and it means a lot to me, but it means a lot to the community, and I'm glad that so many people come here today to support their community.
Punters settled on last start Ascot winner Glitterbell in the opening race of the card at Belmont Park at two-year-old plate over 1,000 metres. The Pro Art Colt had its chance in the straight, but was no match for Not a Single Doubt gelding 12 rounds, which led from go to woe in an impressive racetrack debut. Single
Doubt youngster 12 rounds leads the way by a little over a length on Turin. Danarib's Girl has been working three deep. Down on the inside, Sweet Demi, and then came Glitterbell, about to come out around the heels of Danarib's Girl. Glowing Rock from the back is starting to make up good ground, but 12 rounds by the 200, still with a handy lead. The debutante 2.5 in front from Glitterbell. Glowing Rock, Victorious Lad, is running on. Glitterbell's coming at 12 rounds. 12 rounds desperately ridden from Glitterbell, and 12 rounds wins. 12 rounds on debut, won it by about a neck.
All right, there's the result of the Wagga Cup on Friday afternoon. It was a good carnival. Landlocked, owned by Jerry Harvey, he was seriously considering retiring this horse. In fact, I think he was retired, but they gave him to Joe Cleary, and he's done a fantastic job with the horse. He's won a number of feature races with him, a Gundagai Cup, a Queanbeyan Cup, and a good race in Wagga 2 weeks ago. But that was a big thrill for him to win the Wagga Cup.
Well, so it should be. He's got an old horse there that he looks to. He's got him in a happy frame of mind, and he's winning big races with him. It's a shame we didn't see his interview there after the race. Anyway, well, that's for another clip.
Had to be edited.
It looked a bit of an on-pace race. Up the front, horses were 1, 2, 3 there, and they finished off well. But good on him, Joe. Well done.
Wonderful supporters of the Southern Districts of Clearys. They've been for a lifetime. They've been wonderful contributors, and it's great to see them winning a race that would be important to them.
My word.
Certainly. Now, the other feature race there, All the Goss, won the Town Plate on Thursday. Very, very nice horse. Now, let's go abroad. We showed you the Kentucky Derby earlier on. Also overnight, we had the running of the English 2000 Guineas. Glen Eagles was the favourite at 4-1. Let's have a look at the concluding stages.
Jacket as they head down past the bushes now, and it's Home of the Brave. Leading Glen Eagles and Dutch Connection begin their challenges. Estee Carr is there, Interlac, Ivor Word towards the left as well. The challenge, and Glen Eagles now. Ryan Moore and Glen Eagles come towards the stand side. Territories is out after him. Ivorwood down the centre of the course. Glen Eagles to Ivorwood in second place. Bossy Guest running a huge race. Glen Eagles in front. Territories trying to reel him in. Glen Eagles though, and Ryan Moore have won. Territories second. Ivorwood in third. A great run from Bossy Guest home in fourth, and then came Celestial Bar.
Glen Eagles taking the 2,000 guineas. Ryan Moore on board. That was Ryan's first win in that race, but Aidan O'Brien, who trains Glen Eagles, that was his seventh win in the race. He's been very dominant there. That colt's mother is a full sister to Giant's Causeway, so he's bred to be winning good races, Glen Eagles.
And he looks a good horse, doesn't he? He's got a good record. That was a dominant performance in what looked a strong field, and looking forward to following his progress, that's for sure.
Great way for Ryan Moore to start his association with Coolmore. He's now their retained rider, and good to get that big one off at the start of the flat season there for Europe, because I can imagine they're going to be featuring right through the season.
Oh, some great racing coming up. They're looking at the Irish Guineas and the St James Palace Stakes with that winner, Glen Eagles. And just while we're talking about overseas racing, Hong Kong, big meeting over there this afternoon. One of their Hong Kong punters' favourite horses, Able Friend, running.
Yeah, and he meets Luger, who's the up-and-coming champ, so although Able Friend's going to be a long odds on favourite, there's a little bit of interest in Luger today, so it's going to be a great clash.
Big showdown there. All right, now the week ahead, I mentioned Warrnambool is coming up. Three great days of racing kicking off on Tuesday. But don't forget the Alice Springs Cup up there in the Territory. That's on tomorrow, Alice Springs Cup. Then we've got the 3 days, the Brierley's on Tuesday, the Wongoom and the Gallywood on Wednesday, and that famous Grand Annual. 5,500 metres, a gruelling affair. And there's Doomben next week. The BTC Cup and the Doomben Cup are on the same program this year. Bit of a rejig of the carnival there with Eagle Farm, of course, out of action. But, gee, that's a bumper program there.
Big race day.
Sure is. Rough Habit Plate, an important lead-up towards the Derby. Morfettville's got another Group 1 next week, the South Australian Derby, and the Lord Mayor's Cup will be the feature race.
And obviously those two races from Hawkesbury on Saturday. There'll be 10 races, is that right, Brent?
Yeah, 10 races next Saturday at Rosehill Gardens and 8 at Warwick Farm on Wednesday. Hopefully the rain can stop in Sydney and we can have some drying conditions, because I can imagine Warwick Farm will be certainly underwater considering the amount we've had in the last couple of days.
I think Newcastle's got a race meeting on Tuesday as well, and they've caught plenty up there.
Pulled the last off there yesterday.
Yeah, so they are forecasting the fine weather to return on Monday, and then it should be fine and sunny. Certainly we can't wait for that. All right, that's just about all we have time for this morning. It's been a good program with the American Kentucky Derby over there, American Pharaoh, the winner, and a lot to look forward to this week. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Richard.
Pleasure.
And
great to be here.
We'll see you next week. That's it for today's edition of Racing Retro. Thanks for being with us. Have a good week.
Has the button, stalls are back and racing.
Fields bent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set. You're off.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
Good morning, everyone, and good morning, Trent Langscale. How are you this today, Trent?
A little bit nervous, Paul, I've got to be honest, because we will be speaking about the NBA playoffs shortly from Brad Rosen, who we hear during the season in the NBL from TK and Slats, and also he's part of the commentary team on Channel 10 or 1HD, and I am actually a San Antonio Spurs fan, and they've done their best to lose this series against the LA Clippers. Game 7 is coming up in around about 10 minutes' time, so a bumper sports day in America. We've had the Kentucky Derby in the last couple of hours, and then we're going to have Game 7 of this playoff series, and then, of course, we've got Manny Pacquiao against Floyd Mayweather around about 1 o'clock this afternoon, our time there at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. So looking forward to a busy day of sporting action. Of course, there's all the local stuff. We've got a couple of rugby league matches, and also the round 5 of the AFL finishes up.
Fair enough. Okay, well, Brad Rosen joins us on line now. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm a little bit more settled, I think, than Trent. Trent's a little bit nervous at the moment with his San Antonio Spurs playing in the NBA playoffs.
Well, then he's got a long way to go because it's only the first round and it's only game 7, so he's got a few more rounds to go after San Antonio, what I believe will get a win today in Los Angeles.
Well, there we go. You were going to stay on the line, Brad, then. That's very good. So just quickly, we'll go through the odds because it is coming up in about 10 minutes and it is going to be live on ESPN. So we've got your thoughts there. The LA Clippers are the $1.68 favourites. The San Antonio Spurs at $2.25. In line betting, the Clippers are giving away a 3-point start at $1.95 lines throughout the NBA playoffs. So they're the main markets for this game. Just on your feelings, Brad, why do you think the Spurs will win Game 7 in about 10 minutes' time?
Well, what's